Good evening and welcome to the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting for March 23rd, 2011. May I have a roll call, please?
Director Guerrero?
Present.
Director Henson?
Present.
President Hill?
Here.
Vice President Angelo?
Here.
Director Lucy?
Here.
Please join us in the flag salute.
Ready? Salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 3 is public comment. Comments should be limited to those matters that are within the jurisdiction of the district. The Brown Act restricts the board from taking action on any item that's not on the published agenda this evening. If you have a comment on things that are on the agenda, we'll have a public comment on each of those as the items come up. Comments should be directed to the board as a whole and not to any individual board member. Are there any requests for general comment?
Brenda Auer.
Brenda Auer, Grover Beach residence, Rio Grande business owner. I'm here on behalf of Adopt a Highway. I want to thank everyone for their help with assisting with the highway cleanup. And I want to also ask that in the rainy season as it is, mainly those people that are along the creek and the riverbed area, be careful what they leave because the high winds can still bring that and bring it. The winds can actually put it in the river, and we're finding just a lot of extra debris. Again, I want to say thank you, and anybody that wants to volunteer, please let me know. I also want to offer up my services for some marketing for our town in Oceano. The pancake breakfast this weekend was wonderful. I think we should do that more often and find some ways to market ourselves that direction, whether it's through something as minuscule as T-shirts or, you know, something else that could even be more grandiose. But we have a lot of campers down on the beach continually on the weekends. That would be great to get maybe $20 or $30 from each of those campers and help subsidize some things. I want to again emphasize that it's real important that we keep our resources we have here, whatever they may be, whether it's water or the airport, and hold them dear to us, because once we give those up, we'll never give them back. I understand that there's a proposal for professional services from a Jim Jeff Edwards company of Los Osos, wanting to do some assistance, attending some meetings, and I would like to suggest that possibly you put that out for job interviews. I know somebody like me that's really interested in the water would be interested in something like that before you make a decision on who, you know, hiring someone just off of a single resume. I'd never heard that this job was actually up available. So thank you for your time. Have a good evening.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Joe Schachner.
Good evening, board. My intentions were to come tonight. I thought it was a Sand District meeting tonight, so I apologize. But I thought I'd take the opportunity to just mention a few things that aren't really in your jurisdiction. But when we had the rains this Saturday and Sunday, all the ingredients were there for another flood of the homes. All the things that caused the December 19th flooding, none of it has been solved, and all of them were operating the same exactly as they were December 19th. Most of the homes had just finished putting new carpets in. Tens of thousands of dollars have been spent. If we had a little more rain on the weekend, that would have destroyed those homes. We have films, we have pictures of everything. I was going to go to the Board of Supes on Tuesday, but I felt a little jittery, and I wanted to wait until the April 30th community meeting before I did that, because we're not seeing any action. And the biggest problem we saw on the weekend was water coming across the airport, going through the sanitation district. That's why I wanted to speak in front of the sanitation district meeting. It's coming across the sanitation district through the dredge beds there, right into our road, and it overflowed into the gullies. It's a health hazard. I just wanted to point out that nothing's being done. The Rio Grande Creek was flowing to a 90-degree angle and wasn't going directly into the ocean. The lagoon could have been dredged and lowered the week before, but it wasn't, in anticipation of the heavy rains that were coming up. There was no flow, and it was very high. And it was coming right into the neighborhood again, and a little more rain would have been the exact same thing that happened the 19th of December. And I'm going to go to the board after the April 30th meeting and hopefully prepare myself and make bullet points the best I can to address all of these things. These are new issues the way they're happening, and a lot of times they're making it look like it's an old issue, that flooding has occurred in our neighborhood for decades. But these are new things that have been a direct result of negligence on the county's public works and other agencies not coming up to the plate, meeting with each other, getting around all this bureaucracy, and bringing a solution to our neighborhood. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thank you.
Jeff Edwards.
Good evening, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I understand some members of the community have approached David Church. Mr. Church is the executive officer of the Local Agency Formation Commission. And they've approached Mr. Church regarding the dissolution of this district, which I personally don't believe is in the best interest of Oceano. However, I think it is time for the people of Oceano to weigh in on the future of the district. And in that connection, first of all, without a doubt, these are challenging economic times, and everyone is looking to consolidate and optimize the use of resources. But suffice it to say, there are several options for the district and the future of the district. And I think they ought to be talked about in an open forum, public forum, where the public can provide their opinions and really assist this board in making decisions about the future. The options are dissolution. That is, there's a process that LAFCO has. You can go through where the staff prepares a report, and the pros and cons are outlined. And so that's one option. Another option is annexation. Consider the possible annexation into one of the other incorporated communities, specifically Grover Beach or Rio Grande. It's something to consider. And then lastly is the preservation of the district generally as it is presently configured. However, I think that if that is the case and that is the future of the district, I think there are many ways that the district can be strengthened and made more efficient and more accountable to the people. And so I just want to put that out for your thinking. And again, I would encourage a broad discussion about the future and the options for the future. The bottom line is to bring the whole community into the discussion, get their opinions, and let them decide where they want this district to go. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeff Pinak.
Thank you, Mr. Montemurro. Jeff Pinak, Oceano resident, Sir Frederick Chair. I'm here tonight for some informational stuff. I want to read from the State Water Resources Control Board Notice of Violations from July 21st, 2010, certified mail to Mr. John Wallace, South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District, our district, along with Rio Grande and Oak Grove Beach, upon which Mr. Hill sits as a member. And we appreciate his sitting on that board. Notice of violation. Number one, there were six violations here. The following represent violations of the district's NPDES permit, which is their wastewater disposal permit. Number one, in operations and maintenance, I'm going to cut quickly here. Operation and maintenance manual was unavailable during the inspection. The lack of an O&M manual comprises consistent and optimal facility performance. People have to make corrections and improvements based upon memory and not upon a manual. That's a violation. Number two, the SOPs, standard operating procedures, were not written SOPs. It's passed from generation to generation. God knows. I don't know. They weren't available. No SOPs for how many years? How do we know? We don't know. I want to take exception also to Mr. Nichols' statement at the Sandboard District last week that we have had no violations at the district for 25 years. Here's six of them dated July 21st. I'm sure there'll be a ton more coming down from the December spill. Number three, written sampling procedures are necessary for consistent plant performance and discharge compliance. None were available. Number four, records of monitoring information, i.e. completed preventive maintenance sheets, daily rounds, bench sheets, were not retained for a period required by the discharge permit. Parentheses, minimum of 3 years, retention of monitoring records. Mr. Wallace's comment at the district meeting was he did not know this was a requirement. How can our engineer and our advisor not know that these were required? Number five, can we say malfeasance? A code requires agencies to report in writing within 30 calendar days any changes of treatment process, organization chart, etc., etc. Our records indicate that the last updated information submitted by the district was in the year 2000. That's 11 years, count them. Our inspection revealed several changes in plant operations, certified operators, and or disciplinary actions since 2000 that were not reported to the Officer of Operator Certification. Number six, and most important, effluent limits specified in the district's, and I'll be done. Effluent limits specified in the district's permit apply to all wastewater discharged, not some wastewater discharged, not a little bit, not at a certain time. It says all wastewater discharged. In this meeting, the procedure and or direction of avoiding sampling when the effluent is anticipated to be of poor quality violates the discharge permit and constitutes improper effluent monitoring. Well, if there haven't been any violations for 25 years, we have a way to prove that, because there, in fact, is a way to sample the outfall right before it goes out. There's the pipe that goes out. There's a box where you can get down in there, and you can sample it. You can pull a sample out of there. We are asking the County Environmental Health Board, the Health Commission, the State Water Board, the Regional Water Quality Control Board, to allow independent sampling at that box to determine whether the combination of Pismo and Shell Beach's effluent and the South Sand District's effluent is meeting standards. It's an easy way to do it with an honest and trusted chain of custody. It will allow an independent read on what's going on in our district. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Jolie Lucas.
Good evening. My name is Jolie Lucas. I'm a resident of Five Cities. Here to tell you about some fun things going on at the Oceano Airport. You do have some flyers in front of you of some community events that are coming up that are free of charge. Our Oceano Celebration Day is May 14th. Last year it was May 8th. We had 120 airplanes come into Oceano, and about 500 of our community members come to this free event. This year it's on May 14th. As well, we have had lots of different recreational flyers come in, flyers that come in for business, as well as charitable flying. I'm not sure if you know about Angel Flights. Angel Flights are a nonprofit, and what pilots do is they transport people to medical appointments. Shortly after Oceano Celebration Day last year, a young girl who had a brain tumor was flown out of Oceano to Stanford for her medical care and flown back. And just a few weeks ago, I was down at Oceano Airport, and a twin-engine airplane came in, and it had a young man and his mother, and he had brain surgery lots of scars in the face and down his arms. And he was down at UCLA receiving care and flown back into Oceano, and they were able to walk to their home. So I want you to know that charitable flying is going on there, as well as education, business flyers, and the recreational flyers who come and stay at the hotel, enjoy the beaches. This summer, Young Aviators Camp will be held at Oceano Airport. It's sponsored by the YMCA. It's 2 one-week camps, aiming to let the children know about becoming a pilot, particularly women in aviation, which I'm excited about, as well as other opportunities to be involved with aviation. We need mechanics, we need pilots, we need military pilots. So that will be going on. December 4th of this past year, we had Toys for Tots. Our Toys for Tots event raised $450, which may not sound like a lot, but that allows $4,500 of buying power, and 13 boxes of toys came in from the 30 aircraft that came in and about 100 folks from the community. So we are an active airport, and we are involved in the community. And so I wanted to let you know about particularly fly-in movie night coming up April 30th. You don't have to fly in. It's open to the community. We're having a double feature in our campground. It's free. Come enjoy the airport. And please think about attending Oceano Airport Celebration Day on May 14th. It's a salute to our veterans, to those who are serving, and those who have served our country. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes public comments.
That brings us to board member comment. Start with Director Lucy.
I apologize for the last meeting that I wasn't able to attend. Couple things I noticed going through the minutes and AGP tapes. And then I also went to the website. I saw a warrant. And I wasn't quite sure on what who the vendor was and what the substance was for, and so I called the district and was informed that it was for an informational page on our website, which I think is very, very good that we have started to develop our website. But I strongly, strongly encourage that there be proofreading first before anything is posted. Typos are unacceptable to me, and it should be unacceptable for anything that goes into the public. And secondly, I think it should be based exclusively on facts, not opinions. And so I was somewhat disturbed that I thought it was good that we had put a paper out. It was I would have felt better if it had been proofread. And had been complete. So I would ask that since this is, I guess this would be an administrative in-house decision, because as a board member I was not aware that we had hired anybody, any sole source contracting, to write a position paper. But I went back through some of my old papers and found that the majority of these paragraphs were actually cut and pasted from other existing documents. And so I question how our money was spent on this. And the payment was, I think, right around $540 for that document. I'm really happy that somebody mentioned the April 30th meeting regarding the flooding, but I can't remember where the exact location of that was going to be. It's at the community center up on the hill at 19th and Wilmore, and I think that's very important. I think it was from 8 to 11 a.m.?
9 to 11:30,
correct. So people who are concerned about the flooding and particularly have experienced damage themselves, I strongly, strongly encourage you to attend, and I too will do my best to attend.
What day of the week is the premium? Saturday?
It's a Saturday. Right. So with that in mind, I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Director Angelo.
I have nothing at this time.
Director Guerrero.
Excuse me. I have a comment about, the board adopted rules for presenting testimony, and I think that we're trying to make steps towards decorum in these meetings. But under number one, it says, when beginning to speak, first identify yourself in place of residence. This is required for the public record. Board of Directors meetings are tape recorded. My review of the Brown Act is I think we are allowed to ask for it, but it's not required. And so I think that maybe our language of this is required should be amended to say this is requested for the public record. I think that's probably a more accurate depiction of what's required by or allowable by law. And the other thing is I went to the train station on Saturday where they had the breakfast that was held, the pancake breakfast. It was an excellent event. The only unfortunate thing was that the road was blocked, and I think there would have been more participation, but it was really an excellent event. It was good to see people there, and I think there's a lot of enthusiasm for that excellent facility. So that's all my comments.
Thank you. Director Hanson.
Yes, I just wanted to comment that in the last rain that we had, I was encouraged to see people here that are going to go before the supervisors and encounter and interact with the county, because I as well saw this the airport water coming off the airport and also down on the street. I think it's the lower 4th Street where they're doing road work. I saw some stormwater pond down there that was actually the stormwater was not flooding over into the agricultural land like it's supposed to be designed to, and was coming back onto the road and gathering in the side of the over by the railroad tracks and then coming back onto the road again. So I do believe that there are new areas of flooding that have not been addressed before. And I'm glad to see that people in the community are going out and looking at these areas so that they can report them. Thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to echo Director Lucy's comments about the meeting on drainage and flooding. Again, that's Saturday, the 30th of April, 9 to 11:30 at the Community Center, which is at the corner of 19th and Wilmar. We'll have a notice posted in the window in the front office also to announce that. There have been issues, as Mr. Shecker mentioned, where the drainage issues have changed a bit in certain areas of the community since the original county study was done a few years ago, 2002. So if we could get more information to the county and Public Works, I think that would be beneficial, and hopefully they will spend more money on correcting problems than studying the problems. Another item is the county's requesting a $150,000 grant from Caltrans to study community revitalization programs along the Highway 1 corridor. Third item is the county sheriff's drug take-back program. What this is if there's prescription drugs that you have that you no longer need, don't use, or out of date, something like that, please do not dump them down the drain, because they go to the sanitation district plant. The plant is designed to handle waste and effluent. It's not designed to handle prescription drugs. And that material just goes through the sanitation district plant and out into the ocean and into the environment. So please do not put prescription drugs down the drain. You can take them to any sheriff's office, no questions asked. There's no charge for the service. They'll collect it, collect the material, and dispose of it properly. And they took many hundreds of pounds of the stuff down to the Southern California to be incinerated properly properly destroyed. So that we appreciate the Sheriff's Department doing that for all of our benefits, and I just want to make sure that everybody knows that. If you have prescription drugs that you don't need or are out of date, please take them to the Sheriff's Department for proper disposal. The last thing I have is I note that there's nothing on this agenda about audit progress, status, regress, anything of that nature. Hopefully we'll have some comment on that at a later moment. Is there any public comment on the director's report? Okay, hearing none. Move on to review and approval of the minutes. We have four this evening, starting with January 26th. Comments or corrections from the board?
I just had one over there.
Comment or corrections?
No, not for me.
Are there any public comments on the minutes of January 26th? Hearing none, do we have a motion?
Move to approve the minutes of January 26th, 2011.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve the minutes of January 26th as presented this evening. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Second minutes of February 9th. Comment or questions from the board?
I just have one comment. My concern last time was under 8. I thought that I had voted no under 8A, and after review, I did vote yes on that. So that was my only comment. That was the concern last time. So,
thank you for the clarification. Other comment?
No.
Is there public comment on the minutes of February 9th? Hearing none, a motion?
I'd move to approve the minutes of February 9th, 2011, as presented.
I'll second.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mary.
Go ahead.
Okay, I think Director Angelo was a split second. So we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes of February 9th as presented this evening. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Minutes of February 23rd. Comment or questions from the board? I was not here at the February 23rd meeting.
I don't meeting. Have any question.
Are there public comments on the minutes of February 23rd? Hearing none? A motion?
I'll make a motion that we approve the minutes for February 23rd, 2011.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes of February 23rd, 2011, as presented this evening. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? I abstain. Passes 4-0 with my abstention. Minutes of March 9th. Comment or questions from the board?
I have a question on... on 9F. And my question is, the following motion was adopted to close FYE 2008-9 by 5 p.m. March 11, 2011, and close FYE 2009-10 by 5 p.m. Friday, March 18th. I don't remember March 18th being in there. I thought that was all to be by March 11th.
If I recall, Director Henson, I think the direction was to close the books and to deliver the information to the auditor.
By March
18th. It was that Friday for the first year and the next Friday for the second year.
For 2008-2009?
For 2008-2009, it was supposed to be closed and delivered by March 11th, 2011, and mm-hmm. closed and delivered by 5 p.m. on March 18th. For 2009-2010, yes.
That is correct. I thought it was all for March 11th.
Well, I think it's not correct in that. I think it was also to close and to deliver to the accountants.
That's how I recall it as well.
I believe that's correct.
So we need a correction then.
So that should say March 11th for the 08-09 material and March 18th, 5 p.m. for the 9-10 material.
Was one to go to one accountant and another to go to another? Yeah. The one for the 18th was go to one accountant? I think it was Moss Levy for the 2008-2009.
Yes, and I believe Glenn Burdett for the 9-10.
And I don't see that anywhere else in here. And I believe it was in this section.
Yeah, we can have that brought back with further corrections.
Well, I think the corrections should specify that they were delivered to which accountants they were to be delivered to at which time. And I don't recall off the top of my head which ones those were.
Well, I believe it was the 2008-09 month.
You must speak up for the whole board to hear.
Excuse me.
I don't remember which accountant those at this time. I don't remember which accountant was supposed to get which years.
Thank you. And my recollection was the 2008-2009 were to go to Moss Levy, and the 2009-2010 were to be delivered. And I don't recall the name of the accounting firm currently.
Glenn Burdett, Phillips and Bryson.
So you want to make those changes on there?
Stating
which accounts you're supposed to go to which company?
I'd like to make those changes.
Okay.
Whether we can approve it with the corrections noted or we should bring it back.
And then I have, a question about, again, 9. G, and at the very bottom of that, it's pertaining to the direction for a letter to the County Board of Supervisors. And down here at the bottom it says the board directs staff to write an informative letter to the Board of Supervisor Chair, and I don't recall it being sent to the Board of Supervisor. I thought it was the I don't recall it being the Board of Supervisor. And also down here it says send a carbon copy. Do we send carbon copies, or is that just a misnomer for CC? CC a copy?
That's what CC means.
Yeah.
But it's not a carbon copy.
Photocopy.
Electronically generated.
Yeah, electronically generated. It's a CC. Unless it was something I didn't know about, as something new that I don't know.
We're going back to typewriters.
So I went, what? And that's all I can see. Thank you.
Other comment or correction? Is there public comment on the minutes of March 9th? We're hearing none. Do we have a consensus to bring this back with the corrections or to move forward?
Would you rather bring it back or just add those, interdelineate now? It's probably cleaner to bring it back.
I'd make a motion that we pass the that we bring back the March 9th meetings with those corrections, the minutes of the meeting with those corrections.
Okay, is that acceptable to the rest of the board?
I'm going to abstain. I wasn't here.
Okay. Yeah, that's
acceptable.
Okay,
I agree with that.
Looks like the consensus is to bring the minutes back, so we'll direct staff to do that, please. Item number 6 is reports. I don't see a member of the Sheriff's Department here this evening. Brings us to item 7, cash disbursements.
President Hill, may I ask a question? The letter that was referenced in your minutes for your last meeting, will that be discussed at the board?
I believe there's a draft that's in this.
Yeah, it doesn't say draft.
I don't, well, that's good. I'm sorry, okay. Ms. Lucy, or Director Lucy, you're still. I don't mean to step over you.
Pardon me?
I don't mean to step on your toes if you're not done.
No, no, if you have the answer for that, that would be great.
Oh, I don't know if it's a draft. It doesn't have a signature line, and I had some suggested... Well, it does have a signature line on the back. I'm sorry, it's not signed.
Yeah.
And I have some suggested grammatical changes.
And the CC is... But I just want to know if this letter is going to be discussed.
Yes, it will. It's later on the agenda.
Great, thank you.
I guess my question about this would be on page 11 on the back, what exactly that breakdown is.
Are they broke down by account? Administrative fire general fund water?
And I have a couple of questions as well.
Can I look at yours with you? Thanks.
Is this intended to be a breakdown of the current warrants? I'm not sure what that page is telling me.
What's the total of the prior pages, columns?
Yeah, I guess on
page 11 is just a summary of. Like, for example, on page 1, it says 1, 2, 3, 4 different types of payments. And then on page 11, it shows those four, you know, by category, by fund number, and the total, you know, magically balances is the same as the front page.
So this is the total cash disbursements for this particular?
Yes, yes.
What's the summary of that?
Yeah, I found page 10 and 11 both to be quite confusing.
Well, page 11, if you look in the left-hand side after, like, three lines after the total, where the total is $96,851.90, it says no errors, end of report. And what happens is it's part of the new software program, and when it starts, on page 1 we've got so much for payroll, so much for ACH, so much for pension, and so what it does is it tracks from the first check that you write, and that would be on page 2, because with the new system, there are no longer checks written or voided or written direct deposit on. What happens is, for those of us that work here, we actually just get like a receipt of the direct deposit. We're not issuing checks and, you know, crossing them out and putting a void on them or anything like that. So It starts with page 2 with the first entry, and then it goes to page 10, and then on page 10 also it shows the $96,851.90, and then on page 11 it says that that amount was posted to these for the general fund, the water fund, the sewer fund, and that the report balances and there's no errors.
That says 2010-2011 year total. So is this a yearly total, or is this this particular?
Excuse me, which page are you reading?
I'm on page 10 at the bottom over in the left-hand corner. It says 2010-2011 year totals. So is this the 96,000?
No, it's saying that all of these items above that, the total of the $96,851.90, that they're all to be charged to the 2010-2011 year. That's also another upgrade for the auditing. So, for example, let's say that you saw the same page, but it was the first week in July, okay? Then on there you would see that some of the stuff that we paid for in July should go in the 10-11 year, and some of the stuff that we paid for in July should go to the 11-12. But because we're so far from that, that statement is saying that all of these should be and are charged to the 2010-2011 year.
So it's just telling you where they go.
Yes.
Then I have a question. You have amount annual budget. So is this annual budget on page 10, the second one over that says annual budget, is that the amount that's budgeted for this budget year for that particular thing, for that particular item? And then it says budget available, over budget, annual budget. So this is this actually showing what the budget is for that particular item for the year, and each time that something is deducted from that, then it goes over and it shows how it reduced that amount and or how that is, how we're over budgeted for that? I'm not understanding this page.
That piece is still, what can I say, that's a work in progress. That's not, it's not completely, it's not done yet. Just, you know, look at the one to the left. The line items, those are fine. But
so the amounts are correct for now.
The $96,851.90 is perfect, and those are the disbursements that we're asking to be approved and signed tonight. And the other stuff, when, you know, we get all the bugs out, it'll actually track and show and make sure that they're being charged to the right fund number, whether it's 01 or 02 or 03, and how it compares with the budget.
Well, that was my question on our last meeting budget, was how could we tell, you know, what it was being charged to, and I thought that was what the...
That's what the 1, 2, and 3 are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you don't know that it's necessarily, even though we've got 1, 2, and 3 here, this is not exactly
No, this
correct.
This is still, yes, this is still a work in progress. We're working on it. When we're done with that, it'll accurately show what is charged, what should be charged, and where it's at.
So let me ask this question then. Are we carrying over information from the old system into the new accounting system?
We might be getting off the track in terms of the agenda item, which is to approve the warrants, or the expenditures, I should say. Is there any further questions that relate specifically to the expenditures?
Yes, I did have one question. On page 6, on number 1636, Wright, Harold Wright, and it says professional services from March 28th through March 14th.
February 28th.
For $1,200. And I wanted to ask, was Harold here to work on the system after the March 9th meeting?
Yes, and Harold was here, but not to work on the system. He's finishing up. He's working on the stuff that has to go to the auditor.
So he did work after the 11th?
Yes. As a matter of fact, he came in on a weekend. You know, I've been trying to make the point on how critical it is that we finish and catch up on the audits. So, you know, he's been trying to work as much as he can to finish them up.
And then I have one more question about the accounts over here on page 5 that say pooled accounts. And I think I understand the concept, but I don't feel comfortable with that terminology there.
It's the way the system keeps track of things that it's called pooled cash, and how it shows up in one total. And for example, it's delineated by the numbers 01, 02, 03, and so on. But that's how the software refers to it. It's referred to as pooled cash.
I had a concern about that, too. I'm not sure I'm real happy with that. But, again, I don't think that relates specifically to the
how it ends up working
tonight.
Is if we actually had, for example, a separate checkbook for the water fund or the sewer fund, then it wouldn't say pooled cash. But because we don't, that's the term that it's given.
We did have a separate account.
No, we only have one checking account.
So we don't have separate funds for the... Okay. Well, then that concerns me.
Any other questions on that?
Well, I'd just like to point out that on the copying machine, you know, it used to really drive me crazy that we spent $450 for that old dinosaur up there. And to see a brand new, up-to-date, state-of-the-art system for $172 really makes me happy. So thank you for taking the time to look into that and correct that. Although it might be small savings, it counts.
Besides the savings, Director Lucy, it was done for reliability, because soon now with the new system, we're going to print the bills here in-house. And besides the cost and all the inefficiencies of the old one, it would break often. So you can't plan to run the bills and then, you know, it breaks and half the people get their bill and half don't. That's unacceptable. The run has to...
Yeah. And since you're still working the glitches out on the software system, you will catch the typos, right?
We're striving to improve.
Even machines make typos.
We're striving to improve to make every report better than the previous one.
Thank you.
I want to come back to the actual cash disbursements again. Is there public comment on the cash disbursements? Hearing none. Further discussion or a motion?
I move that we pass the cash disbursements for 3/23/2011.
I second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the cash disbursements as presented. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
No.
That is a no vote?
Yes, that's a no vote.
Okay, so the item passes 4-1 with Director Hansen opposed. Item 8, adoption of Ordinance 2011-1 and 2011-2, the second reading. Ordinances, the first one is 2011-1, an ordinance amending our existing Ordinance 2006-1 to reflect new water rates, effective March 1, 2011. The second is the ordinance amending Ordinance 1994-2 to reflect new wastewater rates, effective on the same date.
Ordinance number 2011-1 reads the Oceano Community Service District, an ordinance of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District, amending Article 4 of Ordinance 2006-1, an ordinance of the Board of Directors establishing new water service charges and consolidating existing water ordinances to establish new water service charges. Whereas the Oceano Community Service District voted on December 8, 2010, to increase water service charges, and whereas notice of the proposed increased charges was mailed to the record owners of each parcel affected, and whereas a public hearing on the proposed increased charges was held on February 23rd of 2011, at least 45 days after the above notice was mailed, and whereas the district considered all written protest and public comment against the proposed increase, and whereas this public meeting has been properly noticed pursuant to Government Code Section 54954.2, Parents the Brown Act, now therefore be it ordered pursuant to Government Code Section 61060, 61115, 61115, C as in Charlie, and 61060, H as in Harvey, by the Board of Directors of the districts as follows. The rates are set forth in subsection A, minimum bimonthly charges, non-residential accounts, and subsection B, bimonthly charges, residential accounts of section 1, article 4. District billing process of ordinance 2006-1 are hereby repealed and replaced with the rates as shown on attachment A hereto, which attachment is incorporated as if fully set forth herein. This is the second reading, and you know we would ask that the board approve. Thank you.
Okay, any discussion, comments, questions from the board? Is there public comment on this item?
I have no slips for to speak on item 8.
Okay, 8A. Do we then have a motion?
I'd like to make a motion that the ordinance regarding the water service charges for water ordinance number 2011-1 be approved.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded to approve ordinance 2011-1 as read by the general manager and included in the packet material. Can I have a roll call, please?
Vice President Angelo?
Yes.
Director Henson?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
Okay, the ordinance is passed unanimously.
Part 8B is the ordinance amending Ordinance 1994-2 to reflect the new wastewater rate effective March 1st. The ordinance reads for the second reading, Oceano Community Service District, Ordinance Number 2011-2, an ordinance of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District amending Section 2-2 Sewer Use Rates of Ordinance 1994-2, an ordinance of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District amending Ordinance 1984-1, Part 3, Article 2 of the Administrative Procedures to establish new sewer service charges.
If I could, interrupt and ask counsel at this point, is it acceptable to just read it by title so we don't have to?
Oh, okay. Then I wasn't aware of that. I thought it had to be read twice. So I was just trying to read it. Well, whatever the board's pleasure, but our recommendation is approval. Thank you.
All right. Questions or comments from the board?
No.
Is there public comment on this item, PP? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve the ordinance 2011-2?
I'll make a motion that we approve the Ocean Community Service District Ordinance Number 2011-2 in regards to the sewer services charges.
Mm-hmm.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve ordinance 2011-2 regarding new wastewater rates. May I have a roll call, please?
Vice President Angelo?
Yes.
Director Henson?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
No.
Excuse me. I would just like to, you know, for the public's information at this point, now that they've both been passed, we've had questions in the office in regard to exactly when it'll show up on the bills, so I'd like to clear that up just for a second. And now that all this is in place, because of the billing cycle, what'll happen is on the next bills that our customers receive, which will be the first week of April, they will not, I repeat, not have the new rate increase because that water was consumed before. So the first time that our customers will actually see these ordinances implemented will be on their June bill. And I just wanted to use the microphone to clarify that because we've been asked that question in-house numerous times. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The result then again was the vote was 4-1 with Director Lucy opposed. I'd like to take item 10 out of order if we can, in case there's someone that's just waiting for the Wilson letter discussion. We have two WilServ letters. 10A is for assessor's parcel number 062-096-032. This is for a single-family residence. We could probably take them both together.
Excuse me, Honorable President. They're not two WilServ letters. They're one WilServ letter and one fee letter. But, yes, we can take them together because they're for the same
property.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for the correction. Comment or questions from the board members?
No.
We don't have any.
Is there public comment on this item?
Yes, I have a public request to speak on item 10B, Pamela Dean.
Pamela Dean, Oceano. I just wanted to bring to the board's attention that the capacity charge is not correctly determined on this WilServ letter, and it was not correctly determined on the WilServ letters issued to the TAC and Development back in December. And that was the December 8th meeting. There were seven fee letters issued at that time. The charge for the capacity was listed at $3,550. That's $3,550. It should have been $3,806.52. Simple math to follow this along. It's in the ordinance, 2006 ordinance. So actually, we lost $1,795.64 because we didn't do our math. And now we're not doing our math again. We did send an email to the general manager making him aware of this and did not get a response, and it's still continuing. So I would suggest that you take it back and do your math and get it right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Can I ask you, when you sent the communication to the general manager?
The email to the general manager went out on December 28th. It was after that, the
2010
meeting. So it was sent out in time for this to be happening.
Thank you.
Mr. Mandemaro.
In regard to the ones that are before us this evening, without mentioning before, what happened here is this was before the board previously, and it was before the board as two separate fee letters and two separate projects. And the gentleman came to the board and spoke with the board, and it was decided that he wanted to combine the two because he was the same owner and so on and so forth. and he wanted to combine the two fee letters. This figure that is now, quote, being challenged or whatever term you prefer, when the gentleman was before the board, this figure was agreed upon that if he went to the county and received one APN number and did, in fact, actually combine the two, that this would be what the charge would be, and that after we got the single APN number, it would just come before the board. And you know, I can go through the notes and stuff, but when it was here last, I wrote down and I asked the board, I went, no, wait a second, you know, what are we going to charge when it comes back? And that's where this figure came from. So the board has visited this. It's passed all the inspections, and the person was spoke on it at the other meeting requesting that it be combined into one, and it was the board's pleasure that when we received one APN number from the county, that this would happen. And that is what has happened. He has brought in proof to us that this is now the new correct APN number 062096-032 from the county, and that includes what at one time, if you look on page 3, it shows that it was two separate
I have a question.
Yes.
Do we typically advise people to take their developments and put them under one APN? And is there a limit as to how many how many structures? Because this is an R3 lot, so are we typically having people go and combine APNs? And is that language in the codification?
I don't know if the language is in the codification, but the rest I can address. We do not typically tell people to combine APN numbers. As a matter of fact, when the gentleman first brought it to our attention in the office, and he commented on the two fee letters and stuff and said it was all one property, my comments to him were, well, you know, I can't. Our fee letters are per APN number. And he said that he wanted them combined. I told him I couldn't do that. So then he goes, well, what's the next recourse? I go, you can come to the board and ask. So in my short tenure, this is the only property in which we have combined two former pieces or tracks or APN numbers, whatever term you prefer, into one APN number. And it was the owner's request, and it came here first.
Yeah, I bet it was. This is my concern, is consistency, is that we're consistent with everybody, whether, you know, it's business, you know, big developers, small developers, is that we have a codification system and that we're consistent with everybody, fair. And I'm afraid that there wasn't consistency carried out, whether the board did it or not. And I am not on the codification, nor do I know if they even meet or anything. But I think there needs to be consistency, so I don't know why it's back before the board, but that's what I walked away feeling like. And I'm sure there's a really good reason for it from somebody.
The codification is not approved at this point, and so we have our existing district ordinances 2006-1 that specifies what the charges are. The letter says that, first of all, it says it's an estimate. But it says the last sentence in bold print says estimated fees could increase at any time and will increase on January 1 of each year. Perhaps we should revisit the time that the thing came before us previously, if that was prior to 1-1 of 11?
Yes. We can do that.
Thank you.
And the will serve letter, I think, which is the first part of this item, is probably looks to be acceptable. Well, the will serve letter doesn't involve any math, so it's. Are there questions on the will serve letter?
The will serve letter, if we look at the last page in our packet that says 10B, then there's the diagram, then it shows that the $30 for the will serve has been paid. That also answers our question for previous. It shows the date, so therefore we know when it was before the board, and you're correct, the fee for $30 for the will serve was collected December 22nd of 10, so therefore that means that it was before January 1st.
Mm-hmm. So in that case, then, the notice on the seems to me the notice on the fee letter should have been updated to reflect the passing of the year, as it states, will increase on January 1 of each year.
We'll relook at the fee letter figures and bring it back to the next meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Can we approve the will serve letter? Board discussion or comment?
I think we should review this and bring it back.
Is there any advantage to approving the will serve letter tonight versus doing everything when we?
It may allow the project owner to proceed. It gives them direction and who to call, how to do the process.
Well, I don't think we want to start proceeding on a project if we haven't collected all of the fees. I believe that that's in the ordinance, that we're supposed to collect all the fees before the project commences, or that we give the will serve letter.
The will serve letter is a statement that the district will serve the project, and the fee letter is a statement of
all
the
right.
estimated costs for doing that, which is often comes at a separate time than the will serve letter says.
Would you see back on this one?
So then I don't see any reason why we can't.
It states the change in the parcel number on the 29th of December. Mm-hmm. There apparently was an existing house there, mm-hmm. and then they tore it down, so that's right. why there's a change in the APN. I went through that once, too.
Yes.
So with the existing house there previously, would those fees have been paid, and this is a new construction?
This is new construction.
This is new construction. The fee letters will come back.
Okay.
So at this point, is there a comment on just the will serve letter?
I think that we can approve the will serve letter.
Okay. Is there a public comment on the will serve letter? Hearing none. Motion.
I make a motion that we approve the will serve letter for the. Do I just use the one APN number then?
Yes.
For the APN number 062-096-032, OCSD project 6258, Christie single family residence.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the will serve letter for the project 062-096-032. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously.
I'm going to abstain, sir. I'm abstaining.
Okay. In that case, I'll restate the result. It passes 4-0 with one abstention, which is Director Lucy.
Thank you.
And that is, again, for the will serve letter only. And we'll ask staff to bring back the fee letter. Okay, backing up then to item 9, administrative items. 9A is board to approve a letter to the County Board of Supervisors endorsing responsible development. Comment or question?
As the staff report says, it says that approval and sign letter discussion. Staff was directed to write letter to the Board of Supervisors regarding development in Oceano. Then the last sentence says, if you do not approve and sign, please make any additions or corrections, you know, for your pleasure. So if you are happy with the letter as presented, that's fine. If not, just instruct staff what you would like added or deleted, and we will do that and bring it back. But I wrote the letter, and I tried to incorporate the areas that I was instructed, Highway 1, Pier 1. I tried to, you know, also, besides the area, make the comment to the county that, hey, you know, not only can we use the development, if you authorize development by us, you don't have the water issue problem that our neighbors have. Now, I thought that was an important issue because not only if we're given development can we do we have the vacant lots and can we develop them, but we also have the water to serve. Does the board want me to read the letter, or does the board want me to change anything on the letter?
I want to know the history of why the letter was even generated.
The history on why the letter was generated, I think I can help with, is that a number of residents spoke when we considered selling water outside the district. They wanted to see development here in Oceano rather than other locations. And in speaking to Supervisor Teixeira, who just went through an election in this very district, we spoke to him, and he was stated that he was unaware that the people in Oceano wanted any development at all. And so the objective was to have a letter as a straw man, if you will, that could be discussed, the public could comment on it, and we could forward a comment to the Board of Supervisors that, yes, we do have water, and there's a number of areas here that could be responsibly developed.
So it was directly just targeted to county-owned property in this area?
No.
Did we send it to Amtrak for any of their land that's owned in the area? Or did we send it to Caltrans for any of their raw land that was in the area? So that's where I think it was.
Well,
I found it to be, when I read it, coming from a public policy background, right, first of all, alarms went up. You know, and as Director Guerrero says, I felt like a line had been drawn in the sand. And that if I was, a county employee, right, I would look at this and say, why is it just the county property that has been targeted here? And then you list a couple, you know, county departments, and then there's that first line that made me very, very nervous. It said, this sounds like another agenda. And so I, thank goodness to Al Gore for internet and developing the internets. But anyway, so I got online, and it's not just the county does not own very much property in this area. First of all, secondly, there are probably like five. Is there somebody from the audience who's more well spoken on this, or wants to be a director, or something? So I felt like that the county had been targeted out, that this is not how we collaborate, nor do we do private-public business, which if you don't know what private-public means, it means when you take public money and you take the private sector and you do joint ventures. I felt that it was picking a battle with the county.
If I might, and
Caltrans. Those are my questions, and that's how I felt, since I wasn't included in drafting any of this letter.
I don't think any of us were, and I agree with most of your comment. The idea was that the county, it was not directed to the county for their particular property. It was directed to the county, and that they're the ones who have the land development authority here. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't matter who owns the property. The county is the one that approves any building and development. And our neighbors, Grover Beach, Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, spend a large amount of money to bring business and encourage development in those areas. And the county is not doing that here. And it seems to me that the county would benefit from business development and other development by taxes, fees, property tax that would be collected, sales taxes that could be collected by business development here, and the county is not soliciting that kind of development, where all of our neighbors are doing that and their business districts are growing and they're thriving. So it seems to me that addressing a letter to the county, being the not the property owner here but the approval of development authority, would be appropriately addressed. But I agree with you that this letter is...
Then why is Land Use Commission listed first? That is a piece of property that the county owns. It should have been directed first and foremost to the Board of Supervisors,
Board. That's the addressee, but
right.
I agree with you that this...
So that's what set me off. Like, why would airport land use be included in a letter sent to the county unless there's another agenda going on? Because otherwise you would have listed everybody who owns any land that could be developed in the area, including the private sector. We want to encourage development. And secondly, Mr. Hill... Excuse me, but I have been accused of attacking our fellow neighbors. And this was a direct assault on our fellow neighbors.
I agree.
So when you say to me, you have been overheard attacking a certain city, right, which simply was not true, and then I read it coming from a district, you know, look, at some point we all just have to learn to play along whether we like each other or not, you know. And so tell me the truth behind this letter, because I ain't getting it. This isn't about development. This isn't about development. You don't list a county piece of property first, and then on your CC, and then go on to list county building and planning, and then the director of county building and planning, or public works, I should say, is listed after that. Now, if I was Mr. Ogren or Mr. Benedict, and I was the director of those departments, trust me, my feathers would be rattled, you know. So if you're going to CC, do it fairly across the board, write a comprehensive letter, take the personal attacks at it. You know, we've watched as the county has sent. That's petty. It's petty.
It's also inaccurate. The county doesn't send development.
I know. You know,
I couldn't even believe I saw this. This letter doesn't do what the.
This is an agenda. You know, and I truly believe it's the same agenda that's been going after that area. So I move that this board pull that letter until you can articulate yourselves a little bit clearer put a draft in place and list all the appropriate entities. Mm-hmm. And then I'll sign off on a letter.
It's my understanding that's why we're here for discussion, is to try to figure out what our policy is and who we want to send it to and what it should say. And I think this...
figure out why you're doing it first.
That's right. That's what's our policy. What's our purpose to do this?
Well, what is the purpose then? What is the purpose? Because when I walked away, I thought, something's up with this airport again. Mm-hmm. Something that we don't even have any control over again. You know, I don't get it.
Well, I would like to speak to this as well. I totally concur with Director Lucy. I don't think that the intent that was to be conveyed was conveyed, and I don't believe that this letter is appropriate for any of the reasons that Director Lucy said or any of the reasons that it was brought up in the meeting and President Hill had in mind. I think the letter is totally inadequate in every way, and I concur with Director Lucy, and I would not sign this letter myself.
But who directed staff to go down this public policy road? That's what I want to know.
I believe staff initiated. I believe that staff was discussed and concurred during the last meeting. However, I believe that staff authored the letter.
I don't think we articulated ourselves then to staff, and I don't hold staff accountable.
I think we all agree with that.
You know, I look, this is board business. I don't think that staff, I think the board needs to set public policy. Mm-hmm. And if it's that we're going to do economic development, whether we do private, public, or whatever, that's a board decision. And it should be generated. Staff should be checking for typos.
And professionally written.
One of the discussions, I met with Paul Teixeira and just after the last meeting, and I had asked that it be put on the agenda for today, but I think this was probably where it ties in best, is he had recommended that we set up an Oceano Redevelopment Agency.
And
Well, you could take out the re. Whether it's an Oceano Development or Oceano Redevelopment Agency, I think it stems from the same discussion. We had a very vocal constituency here that did not want to sell water to protect the development of Oceano.
They didn't want to sell water rights. Let's be very accurate on that.
To protect the development of Oceano. And I think that now... I think it's always a good time to start the discussion, to have this discussion regarding development Oceano. I think that smart development, so that Oceano is a beautiful community that now and in the future. And yeah. So I think this, you know, that's why I say I bring it up now, and if for some reason it's not on the agenda tonight, I did ask that it be placed on the agenda. I think this ties into it of sorts. This is obviously not the letter that we want to send out, but it started the discussion, and here we are discussing it. And so I think there's some value to that.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that.
And I'd like to lend a word to that as well. Both Matt and I went and talked to Paul Teixeira. And by the way, for public information, he's here every Thursday from 1:30 until 3:30. And it's posted out on the office window. And there's a phone number you can call, and he will take appointments with the public. He wants to hear from the people in Oceano, and he's here specifically to talk to the people in Oceano. But one of the things that was discussed, in which we've all listened to the people who came here and didn't want to sell their water rights, and that they wanted development for Oceano, and many people talked about the different types of development they wanted for this area. And we took those concerns to Paul Teixeira, and one thing that he made clear was that it wasn't up to the county to bring development to us and the types of development. And he did agree that probably the specific plan needed updating. However, he said that when he did suggest getting a development group together and start having workshops and engaging people to try to come to them, He said that we would have to come to them. They wouldn't be looking for us to be developing and giving us projects, that if we had something in mind, that it was up to us to come to them and tell them what we want developed. So, and again, as President Hill said, up until just very recently, our supervisor was thinking that this district over here had no desire to change or grow in any way, and that they were content the way they were. So I think it was beneficial, and I would encourage the people in the district again to try to see, you know, the 4th District Supervisor when he's here on Thursdays from 1:30 until 3:30. Thank you.
And again, this is not something for this board to determine or judge. It's something that I would hope that we could have a community-wide discussion, get everybody's opinion on it, and have a discussion in the community. What do people want to see in the future here? I think those kinds of discussions need to happen. There's not a good forum for that. And perhaps the Oceano Advisory can work to facilitate those types of discussions too. But I think a public discussion, figure out where we want to go, because the people that represent us at the Board of Supervisors...
We do have goal setting, you know, and no matter what was put on the internet, that I don't think is necessarily reflective of what goals we've put in place as a board and as a community. So I'd like to see that scheduled, that there is a goal setting, you know, workshop put in place. It takes 3 hours, you know, and that we stick to our goals, because, you know, I see that we're getting, like, sidetracked with any flippant idea there is. You know, write my reports for $600. Let's go buy 400 water meters because we heard we might save a drip of water, you know. This is not making any sense. So, you know, when you have goals and you have a way that you're going to get to that goal, whether it's in year 1 or year 3 or year 5, you have some kind of roadmap. And I find that this board and the community gets, you know, they get sidetracked on intentionally almost. It's like, how am I going to sidetrack this board tonight? You know, so they can make another ass of themselves. You know, it's like, oh, no. You know, and nobody wants to participate in that, so... If we could put just some goals, that way we all are kind of close to the same page.
I think we would all agree to goal setting, which is typically what we do before the budget process.
I do have a couple of comments on this. Probably at least 15 years ago, I sat on the advisory committee, and a lot of this stuff came up then, and we were asked to participate in the improvement ideas for Oceano, and we went through all that. We went to the meetings when they told us there were meetings to attend, that type of thing. This has been happening for years, and to be perfectly honest, we didn't get a lot of help from the county with ideas, although they invite you to come to certain meetings that they wanted you to be at, but not the others, on the decisions on things that were done for our zoning done in this area. So I've seen this come and go many times, and I agree. I don't think this is the type of letter that we want to write to them. I know these things that are listed, corridor, Highway 1 corridor, Pier Avenue, airport property. We've heard from people from the audience those particular items that they would like to see change done in. So this isn't an unusual topic, because I've seen it for years and years and years. The problem we have is we don't have a lot of support from the county to be involved in those decision-making things. We've tried it before, and they basically don't really want to hear from you. So I think to approach them is we've got to make sure that we have people that are willing to be there, go there, and work with them, not bring stuff to them and say, can you approve this? You have to work with them directly, together, or you're not going to get anything accomplished.
So when you were on the advisory council and you did this, and you went to the county and talked to them, they didn't give you support, that you enough support that you felt that they were interested?
Yeah.
And did you have public workshops?
They were doing a master plan update for our community, and Harold Guyton and myself went to the meetings. However, two of the meetings that we did attend, we got a call about an hour before the meetings were to start, which was at the county level, which we did make some of those, but sometimes we never got a call as to when there were meetings, and so there was not a lot of cooperation.
And how long ago was that?
Well, Harold was still alive, so probably 15 years.
Well,
a
lot
longer. I attended them in 90.
Yeah.
So
it's been a while.
You don't feel that enough time has gone by that perhaps it would be in the best interest or something that we could try it again in the community after 15 years?
Oh, yeah. You still got some of the same players there. But
do you have a lot of new people? We have people?
Yeah, we do have a lot of new people. But I'm saying don't go up with something in mind that you say, this is what we want to do. Approve it. You're going to have to sit down with them, and they're going to tell you, well, we wouldn't be able to do this. We wouldn't approve that. And then you have to work within those boundaries to make the improvements you want made in for the community.
Well, it would be good to get some of your input and kind of give us, you know, some idea on how we can try to organize and get that together and give us some ideas on how to bring that back to the board. Because I do think that it's been evident in our meetings that there is a public here that does want to see the development, and I think we need to try to, facilitate any way we can. And
I'm not saying it's not worth trying. I'm just telling you, mm-hmm. It's not as easy as you think it's going to be.
I doubt anything is easy.
Yeah. And that's all I just wanted to comment on.
Is there public comment on this item?
Yes. Mitch Latino?
Developing the airport land. With the vast amount of TV and newspaper coverage these meetings were given, I believe that the community folks were quite aware of their opportunity to come forth and express their opinion at these meetings. Again, no one came and spoke in favor of such a project. The developer stated if the community was not in favor of the closing the airport for redevelopment, he would not pursue the proposal any further. Once again, no one came in support of airport land redevelopment. Due to lack of interest in favor of this subject, the remaining four meetings never took place. Let me reiterate some facts. Per the County of San Luis Obispo, the airport land is clearly not available for redevelopment. San Luis Obispo County supervisors have publicly stated they are not interested in closing the airport for redevelopment. In fact, they unanimously created a proclamation stating that the Oceana Airport will be here for generations to come. The Federal Aviation Administration looks dimly and makes it almost completely impossible to close any airport that has received federal grant money, which Oceano Airport has. The San Luis Obispo Airport Land Use Commission was instrumental in creating the Airport Land Use Plan based on guidelines from the California Department of Transportation's Airport Land Use Development Handbook. This handbook, along with our Oceano Airport Land Use Plan, gives detailed information as to where and what type of development can take place in, around, and near a public airport. In addition, the San Luis Obispo County Planning Department cannot approve any development or plans to develop the airport property without the approval of the County Board of Supervisors. Based on these facts, it is my opinion that writing a letter from the Oceano Community Service District stating that Oceano residents are in favor of airport land redevelopment is completely incorrect, non-factual, misrepresentative, and therefore irresponsible. In addition, President Hill stated that Supervisor Teixeira's lack of knowledge as to what the citizens of Oceano want, in my opinion, is inaccurate. Via the extensive press the airport land redevelopment issue received last year, Supervisor Teixeira, along with most everyone else locally, is quite aware of the lack of interest and desires of Oceano residents in favor of closing the airport for redevelopment. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeff Edwards.
I would like to make a comment that it was not President Hill that wrote this letter, nor gave direction for the content. He had an outline that was given for the board, but thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. Good evening. Again, my name is Jeff Edwards. I appreciate the opportunity to provide some thoughts and clarifications as a way to maybe strengthen the letter. I think the timing couldn't be more appropriate in terms of a letter of this nature. Oceano is experiencing double-digit unemployment. We have businesses literally leaving the community. The economic development opportunities here are little to none. And I think it's important to send a message to the county that Oceano is interested in development. Where that development occurs is subject to future discussions and future considerations by the community. To clarify a couple things, there's no question the County of San Luis Obispo has land use authority in connection with development in Oceano as an unincorporated area. And I think the impetus for this letter was very specifically a comment made by Supervisor Teixeira that he didn't think Oceano wanted to grow, and it's my belief that he simply wasn't aware of the facts. Also, you did hear during the discussions about the sale of water that resource is important, and the community considers it important in the context of development in the community. So, for those reasons, I think the letter is well-intentioned. Now, can it be strengthened? Of course. My first comment would be, I think it should be directed to District 4 Supervisor Paul Teixeira as a beginning. And indeed, there are several properties or areas that were considered, the Highway 1 corridor, the Pier Avenue area, and the airport, which represents 57 acres of very important core community property that is currently owned by the county, and as well as other sundry vacant properties in the community. So I think this letter could also be strengthened by providing more specifics about why development would be important in the community and some of the limitations that are experienced now. The Oceano-specific plan is frustrated by the airport, specifically the noise and safety contours that really limit support for development of the airport, and that's simply not correct. One of the things that did take place is that pilots, like the gentleman that just spoke, tried to dominate the meeting and close out others from speaking. So with that, thank you for your attention. I'm available for any questions you might have.
Thank you. Okay, is there a consensus of the board that this letter is not appropriate to send at this point?
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
If there is more public input.
Joe Schachner.
Joe Schachner, Oceano. I didn't come here to really speak.
Excuse me. I'll ask you to take the conversation out, please. Mr. Schachner has the floor. I'll ask you to leave, please.
I didn't come here to speak on this issue, but just sitting here and listening, I just wanted to make a quick comment. You can talk all you want about redevelopment, but till the cows come home. And I'm not for or against airport redevelopment, and just because I sit next to Jeff, he hasn't influenced me. But the airport is the elephant in the room. There's not going to be much redevelopment without discussion about the airport. Mm-hmm. Development on Pier Avenue is limited because of the airport, as Jeff alluded to. Nobody can develop on Pier Avenue right now to make it profitable because of the airport. And I'm not saying I like some sort of development as long as it's not overdeveloped, as most of us, I think, feel at some point. So the airport has to be part of the discussion, in my belief. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Brenda Auer.
Heated debate about the airport. First of all, I was approached by this gentleman. I did not approach him. And totally off the topic, but I have to mention this. I've been to several of these meetings. I know that I'm very passionate about the subjects about water and about the airport. But I have today actually sat behind Mrs. Hill, who continually during the meeting whispered to the gentleman in front of him, And when I finally agreed to something...
Excuse me, but could you just keep your comments to the board
Absolutely.
And not...
It's across the board. If
please.
You want me to keep my comments in the audience to myself, then I ask that...
Please keep your comments to the board and refrain from...
Absolutely.
It's facilitating.
I have listened to her say some very negative things that I didn't want to hear.
Excuse me.
Are you facilitating the meeting?
Okay.
I would like to...
Start my clock. Let's go. Grover Beach is in danger of losing their community funds for their redevelopment. So there are no funds for that. I mean, if you think that you can get some, That'd be great. I plead with every one of you and everyone here, go down to Delta Drive. I was there just 2 days ago. We're going to have some rain. Go down, walk around. See what's going on in the airport. Until the flooding and the watering is solved and Delta Drive and that whole area down there is taken care of, I had a client come to me and ask, what's my property worth right now down off the Strand? I had to tell them, as long as there's flooding, I can't give you a value. How am I going to tell someone your property's worth this much when we know the next rain they're going to have possibly raw sewage again 2 feet up in their house? On Delta Drive, if you go down, you will see where the sewage plant has, and I don't know what it is, it's black stuff all out there, but again, it's flooded, it's going into our land. There's a lot of issues down there before you talk about developing that we need to address. I really disagree that the airport is obsolete. My daughter's a pilot. She asked me to come here tonight. I wasn't going to come. I said, you know what? I've done all I can for Oceano. They're not in agreement on what their main purpose is. I don't know what I can do. She said, Mom, we need that airport. It's an emergency resource. I have watched, because of her passion, multi-million-dollar planes fly into that airport. We do bring in revenue from the airport. We're just not letting them spend their money here when they get here, just like all the campers on the beach. They come in and use the streets, but we don't take any of their dollars. I want you to know that this is really important, too, that I finish this, the frustrations with the flooded and the raw sewage. Again, I plead to you to go to that community meeting about the floods. Hear what the people of the town have to say, but go walk Delta, walk the airport so you can really see when it's flooding what's going on. There's some areas down there that if they were just cleaned up, we'd be able to have the water go in and flow in. One last thing about this letter. I understand that this was actually a job that this gentleman is applying for that Mary was, I think, doing when she was on Zone 3.
No. Different level.
I'll remind you, I have pictures of my grandfather rowing a boat out here rescuing people. The flooding problem for Oceano is not new, and it's not going to go away. This was a creek down here, right down here. First of all, that's the one thing. That was a swamp. They put the airport in the swamp because the property was low and it wasn't good for anything else. Let's think about why the airport is down there. It's not development land. It's flat, swampy airport land. It's a great place for an airport. So that's the first thing I'll say. The second thing, I'm going to challenge all five of you people, because you are not a redevelopment agency. You are a community services district. You have no business in development for this community. If you want to resurrect the Oceana Community Association or the Oceana Chamber of Commerce, both of which used to exist, then go to it and do all you want on development. But this, I don't pay my taxes to you guys to worry about development. You got to worry about water. You got to worry about sewer. You got to worry about lights. You got lots of things to worry about. And I think you're way overstepping your bounds. With good motives, you're overstepping your bounds. But you're overstepping your bounds the minute you even consider a letter like this. You have no say in the argument unless you form a different committee. And so that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. I appreciate your comment. Is there other comment?
No, sir.
Okay. If I could say, I tend to agree with Karen. Our only interest in that would be selling water, which is what we're in the business of. The more water we sell, obviously, the more revenue comes into the district, the more the costs are spread out, and the average cost tends to go down.
And it's, again, just probably informing the community, because several of us have spoken together or separately with Supervisor Teixeira and found that we were unexpected to find out that he had that point of view. And so I just wanted to make sure that that was transmitted to community members. And you're right, this is a fixed purpose agency. And we respect that. Okay. So we'll, with the concurrence of the board, we'll table this matter and think about it some other time. Item 10B.
President Hills, it's a good time for a break. We've been
yes.
on almost 2 hours.
Thank you. With a motion, can we take a break for 10 minutes?
I'll make that motion for a 10-minute break.
I'll second.
Okay, so it's currently 23 after. We'll take a break until 8:33.
I feel like my time was wasted, and I think I'm doing something else. However, I still like to do that. I think we're done.
AGP, ready? Okay, coming back to order after the break, we're at item 9B, which is board to vote for LAFCO special district member. And the staff report.
I've included for the board the ballot that I received from LAFCO saying that the four people that are interested in being nominated are Ed Eby, Rosie Flynn, Brian Karowski, Lisa Maroney, and Greg Sullivan. And LAFCO did send me, like, for example, Ed Eby sent some information about himself, and so did Rosie Flynn and
Brian Kriowski also.
Brian yes. Kriowski, yeah.
So, you know, I would ask that if the board has a preference, just share with me whom they would like to nominate, because otherwise the ballot is due by April 8th. So, if we're going to vote, the board has to vote for this at this meeting, and then I will take care of the rest. I've included a photocopy in your agenda, but I have the original, and I'll put the agenda date on it, and I'll sign it. I'll fax it to them first, and then I'll put the original in the mail. So if the board would like to vote for our special district member, please consider one of the five on the ballot.
It's some sort of form here that was, it seems to be an impressive resume, but and then there's also a letter from Brian Kriowski, but other than that, I don't know. On Rosie Flynn, excuse me, there's a short paragraph. I feel like I have no position on this because I don't know who these people are.
What typically LAFCO has two representatives. One traditionally has kind of been from the South County. One has kind of traditionally been from the North County, representing special districts. And they have city representatives, special district representatives, and so forth. Barbara Mann served on the LAFCO for quite a while as a special district representative from the South County, although it's not specifically a South County seat, but that's kind of how the division goes. Ed Eby's been on the Community Service District Board in Napomo for several years and has served as the alternate to the LAFCO for at least a couple of years. And he's done, by all accounts, a good job there. So we supported him by nominating him for the position earlier. And I've met Ed and had interactions with him several times. He's dedicated to the community there, and this would be, it's a LAFCO representative, which is, they kind of try to put aside their positions, if you will, and vote for the community good is the idea, but they have people, again, from cities, from special districts, kind of all of the various stakeholders in the county. So I would move that we vote for Ed Eby to represent us as the LAFCO special district member.
I'll second that.
Any further discussion? Or?
No, and I don't think public got comment yet.
Okay, again, is there public comment on this item? Hearing none. Can we get a roll call, please, Carolyn?
Yes. President Hill?
Yes.
Vice President Angelo?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Director Henson?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
The motion passes unanimously. Okay, item 10C, discussion of information sent to the district attorney's office. General Manager Monroe.
Item 9C, the board previously asked that I deliver the total bills, the total receipts, and the bank deposits to the district attorney. For a quarter of 2009, April, May, and June, to be exact. So I, with the help of my staff, we prepared these documents. We ran the totals, and you can see the ticker tape on the front page of each period. Then I hand-delivered the information to the district attorney as I was instructed. And as you can see, the district attorney responded with a letter, "Dear Mr. Montemuro, office received the enclosed documents this past Friday. The district attorney's office refers individuals to the proper investigating agency with original investigative jurisdiction. In turn, that agency conducts its investigation into the matter and then submits its results and recommendations for charges, if any, to our office for review, filing, and prosecution. As discussed previously, the Sheriff's Department has investigative jurisdiction. We are returning the enclosed documents to you. Please contact the Sheriff's Department regarding this matter. Very truly yours." And Deborah Vallee, who is one of the members of the district attorney staff that I've spoken with in the past. So what's before you is, you know, what would the board like staff to do next? Do we want to take this district attorney's letter and, you know, just file it? Or does the board want me to go to the sheriff with complaint? So that's why it's on the agenda for discussion. Board would like to know what is, excuse me, staff would like to know what is the board's next preference. Besides the figures, everything that is in the packet was dropped off, including the last couple pages that, you know, speak to the issue of the dormant CDs and the piece that the letter that was from the agenda that says that we found it on the time deposits.
Rather than continuing to struggle through that, if I might, I looked up the minutes from the October 13th, 2010 board meeting, item 8B, and the title of that item was "Have Accountants from Glenn Burdett, Phillips, and Bryson Prepare Information for the DA's Request," because that's the information the DA requested, was the total billing, total receipts, and bank deposits, and the The action that's recorded on the October 13th, 2010 minutes at item 8B, board directed staff to move forward by providing total billing, total receipts, and bank deposits to Glenn Burdett to have them prepare that. If I was the DA, I'd blanch at having this pile of stuff dropped on me with less than no summary or really anything else. It's very difficult to find any meaning there. And I think the board's intent at that time was to get the auditor to look at that and put it in a form that would summarize it and have some meaning if it was brought forward. Well, I guess I'm just disappointed that it doesn't look like that happened.
Well, I'm disappointed because I don't understand it, and I expected that there would be some summary of findings or some explanation. And consequently, as a board member, I'm disturbed about this because there were allegations made and things said, and I can't say if there is anything here or not, but I think that if this is the best that we can do, then I think we need to make some apologies to people.
What does this mean? Like, this is a Oceana Community Services District A/R utility billing. What can I take by looking at this, Director? I mean, excuse me, General Manager. What is this? The second page?
Okay.
What does this mean?
That was one of the things that we were asked to deliver was the billing. So it shows, for example, how much was billed in June, which was, you know, these 3 months, April, May, June, how much was billed, and then it says how much was the first column shows that the billing for June was $385,103.95. Then it also shows the second notice, and that was what we were asked to deliver, the billing. When one looks, the receipts are here, the billing is here, and the bank deposits are here. And that was what I believed that we were supposed to take to the DA, and that's what I did. I didn't expect the DA to just send them back. I thought, that I left my card. I thought we would talk about them. It didn't happen. Now the reason it's before you is I'm asking the board, what do you want next? Do you want us to proceed? Do you want us to go to the sheriff? Do you want us to go back to the DA?
Did this ever go to the auditor to get it summarized or have some...
This here, no. This has not gone to the auditor.
Okay.
This has only gone to the DA, and the DA just put it in an envelope and sent it back faster than...
I guess I'm not surprised, and the... I would refer staff to the October 13th, 2010 board minutes.
October 10th?
October 13th. 2010. Item 8B. He is in Baker.
Well, I'm sorry.
May. And then June. If you look at June, it shows that the total received was $313,473.02. And it shows when it was received, the dates, and the amounts.
Okay.
I think the Reader's Digest answer to your question is no.
Okay. You can't tell from this? Is that... Are we able to tell from this... these documents, how much was billed, how much was received, and how much was deposited?
What was received was $313,473.02.
Okay.
And what was billed was the first figure that I gave you.
$385,000?
Exactly.
Okay. So there's a...
$385,103.95.
Okay. And I think part of the question is also then how much was deposited in the bank accounts?
How much was deposited, this total received? And these were the days in which it was deposited. If we look past the first page of 02, it shows, the dates on the checks, the amounts, and all of the all the pages after the June piece show all the deposits and when they were deposited.
What was billed and what was received and what was deposited, did that balance out?
No.
You found nothing in this that looked as if there were any discrepancies, in other words?
That wasn't what you asked. You asked if it balanced.
Right.
My answer to that was no, it didn't balance.
Can you tell me how far off it was from balancing?
If you take the $385,103.95 that was the billing and look at what was deposited.
For the month of June?
What was deposited was $313,473.02.
And on this, you have a line, too, over to that that says received in June, $328,899.10. And that number is about $15,000 off, $15,426 off of the amount that was received and deposited into the bank accounts.
This is the amount that was received and deposited in the bank accounts, okay? And these pages show how much was cash, how much was checks, and when it was deposited.
What's this number of $328,899.10 then?
What happens there is some of the payments we don't collect, okay? They have the money is taken from the customer's bank account.
Okay.
So we get additional money besides the money that, we collect.
So do you have a summary or something that can tell us for each year how much was billed and what the difference is? If there is a difference between the amount billed, the amount collected.
I think we're all struggling with is that there's insufficient explanation here to tell what's going on. And I think that's why the board on October 13th asked that the auditors look at it.
October 13th or October 10th?
October 13th. 1-3-13. 2-0-10. Was item 8B on the agenda?
I would like to have the ability to understand this and have a summary of findings and explanation. And I imagine anyone that we would give it to would greatly appreciate that as well.
So do we...
I think we need to... I think we need more information in this package.
Let's first of all ask for public comment on this item. Karen?
Here's my form. I'm just going to fill it out. Karen Whitehouse, Ann. Why are we dwelling on all this? It seems like it's way old history. It seems like it's not ever going to be resolved without lots and lots of money spent on lots and lots of auditing going back lots and lots of years. And it seems to me that it's history, that maybe it should just be forgotten, if not forgiven, and move on.
Now, it was 6 months ago that we responded to the DA's request originally by asking staff to investigate this item a little further, or to prepare it. Have accountant prepare information for DA request. That was what was on the agenda that our board agreed to. Apparently that hasn't happened, and instead a pile of stuff was dropped at the DA's office. So what do we want to do now? Well, do we want to go back 6 months to what we asked the staff to do at that time? Do we want to proceed?
Mr. President, if the DA decides that there is something worth investigating, it would be at the district attorney's expense.
Also, too, is that let's not forget there is a director. There is a director who lobbied the district attorney's office to look at this case that constantly took information in. I've dealt with this woman at the district attorney's office, and look, this they're not interested in this kind of stuff. They're not interested in penny stuff. They want the sexy cases, and in economic crimes, you're not going to find much, you know, dazzling cases, you know, but the district attorney's office was actively lobbied. Finally, they got to a point where they said, just send the stuff, you know, because they were sick of hearing it. They were sick of getting visits, you know. So, it, once again, this was an agenda. The propaganda was built and built and built and built. You know, people's names and reputations were hurt, you know, and I just say, you know what? We write a letter of apology to the people who were named in this and call it a day.
That may be the best answer.
You know, because, you know, we're not saving any money by doing this. You know, I just think it's a crime. Everybody knows what happened. Nobody wants to admit it. You know, and if I must go through where the money went... We rebuilt the strands after the earthquake. We thought that FEMA would give that money back. We were led to believe FEMA would give that money back. They didn't give it back. And that's where the money went. Mm-hmm. You know, it did people, you know, overspend here, go out to lunch here, you know, expensive cell phones and that kind of stuff. Yeah, that probably did happen. But, you know, any large theft of dollars, I just don't believe it.
Thank you, Mary, but I don't think little green men were involved either. But there's definitely issues that the auditors have pointed out to us. Perhaps we should just table this item and see if it comes up later during our official audits.
That would be fine.
Is that acceptable for the rest of the board?
Yes.
Okay. We'll table the item until such time as the audits.
Well, I'd like to say something about that. First of all, the reason that it's coming back again before the board is because during the attempted water sales and the meetings that we've had over the last few months, there's been a lot of public sentiment that has been for this to be done. So there are two minds here. Yes, I definitely do concur with Director Lucy, and I concur with Director Hill. I believe that there are two minds. So I would agree that we table it and bring it back, because I'm sure that we will hear back from the people who were wanting this to occur, and we will hear back from them again. So I concur that I feel the same way.
With that, then, let's move to item 9D, Resolution 201103, removing Chapter AA, Volunteer Fire Department, from our Policies and Procedures Manual.
I was asked, the Personnel Committee met on the 17th, and I was instructed to put on the agenda this item, and I wrote a resolution and I sent it out for timeliness with the packet. I apologize because I got the information from the committee on Thursday afternoon, and then Friday I wasn't able to
speak with our legal counsel. So I sent out a resolution so that it would be on the agenda. We could, you know, discuss it. We could, but today, placed at your chairs, is a resolution that is better, more eloquently written, and it's written by our legal counsel. So I would like to, by the Board of Directors, October 27, 1993, whereas the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District has, through the adoption of the Joint Powers Agreement, established the Five Cities Fire Authority, and whereas as of July 9th of 2010, the Oceano Community Service District is contracting with the Five Cities Fire Authority for fire protection services. Now, therefore, the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Service District does hereby resolve, declare, determine, and order as follows. Section 1 through Section 15 of Chapter AA, Volunteer Fire Department, of the Policies and Procedures Manual approved by the Board of Directors on October 27, 1993, are no longer of any force and effect and are hereby removed from the Policy and Procedures Manual. At the Personnel Committee, we discussed that we wanted to update and remove that information from the manual. Well, I mentioned to the committee, I says, well, how it reads, the first part of it, it reads double A Volunteer Fire Department. So I says, perhaps we should include all of it. Well, as we read on, and it's in your packet, it shows that that's just the title. But if you go through all the sections as listed in the resolution, then it goes all the way through not just the Volunteer Fire Department, but, you know, the fire department in its entirety. So that's what the Personnel Committee requested. That's what's before you. In when it starts reading Chapter AA, that's on Section 1. Then it goes all the way through, and it's 7 pages, and the last piece is Section 16, which talks about the disciplinary actions by the department. So it was the Personnel Committee's intent to take these old things out of the procedure manual, and the only thing that's changed between your agenda is a better written, a more legal, professional resolution. And with that, I defer to the Personnel Committee if they have any additions or corrections as to what they would like to do with this.
I have one question. Does the revised resolution read Section 1 through Section 16 or 15 as the original had?
You're correct. The resolution reads Section 1 through Section 15. And that's, you know, that's my fault. Section 1 through 15, I was following all the fire department itself and then regulations for the volunteer. Okay. Our 15. Then 16 is the disciplinary actions by the department. That's the. So we would have to. The resolution would have to read Section 1 through Section 16 instead of Section 15 to be all inclusive.
Can we make those changes?
Yeah. So are we going to make those changes? Can we approve it with the? With
sure.
The
you can approve it. You know, and then what we'll do is we'll just
make that correction.
Make that correction. Mm-hmm. That, you know, it's just one word. It'll read Section 1 through Section 16.
Mm-hmm.
And would this be forwarded over to the codification committee to be included in the codifications?
It's being deleted from the current policy manual.
Yeah, but if it's in the codification already as policies and procedures, would it not be removed?
Would it not be what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Modified to reflect the change?
I don't believe there was. I don't believe that was ever codified.
Okay.
We have a public comment from Elizabeth Rankin.
Resolution 2011-03. We'll have a general public comment at the end.
Well, that's, he just called my name.
I was given this, so
it's a general public comment. That's why I stood up and started talking. I don't want to offend anybody. I'm just saying, come on, you guys. This has gotten a little bit out of hand. There is missing money. You're not going to find it. The DA is not going to search you guys out for this money. Please start considering what you do have at hand. Please don't waste any more time or resources. $8,000 per investigation is insane. I can't afford things like that. And I do not respect you when you raise my rates 50% when I work to pay for everything that I have. And I don't waste anybody else's time except for now, I guess. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Is there any other public comment on this item?
No, the other one is on agenda, yeah.
Okay. Further board comment or discussion? A motion.
I make a motion that we adopt the Oceano Community Services District Resolution Number 2011-03 as modified to, I should say, Section 1 through Section 16.
A second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve Resolution 2011-03 with the correction that it would read through Section 16, Chapter AA, Volunteer Fire Department, removing that from our policies and procedures manual. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Director Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Angelo?
Yes.
Director Henson?
Yes.
President Hill?
Yes.
Director Lucy?
Yes.
The item passes unanimously. I'd like to take out of order item 9F, the Zone 3 budget. We have the proposed budget for Zone 3. Would you like to introduce that?
Item 9F is the flood control Zone 3 proposed budget for fiscal year 2011-12. Previously, the district has been advised of the Zone 3 fiscal year 2011-12 proposed budget through presentations at the Zone 3 TAC meetings and to the agency's management and finance directors on March 17th. And the Zone 3 Advisory Committee endorsed the proposed budget to be transmitted to the Board of Supervisors for action as part of the county's overall budget process for fiscal year 2011-12. However, the county has also asked for each agency's board of directors or city council have an opportunity to review the proposed budget as it might affect their respective budgets for next year. Therefore, the purpose of this agenda item is for our board to review the proposed budget and to make any comments or recommendations to the county staff. Although the completed proposed Zone 3 budget has previously been made available to our board, attached are the capital items that
that are to be included in that budget. The Zone 3 contractors have asked the county not scheduled any more than approximately $500,000 per year for projects in order to smooth out the billings to the agencies. The current proposal is for $500,000, which approximates that request for the contractors. Overall, the O&M portion of the fiscal year 11-12 budget has been decreased by 1.92% and non-routine O&M by 28%, resulting in a total billing overall decrease by 2.77%. This is approximately $200,000 less than we were expecting with the current year budget, and over the next 5 years, it's like $340,000 less than the previous five-year billing estimate. So I was asked last Friday to put this on the agenda, and I did. And you know, I've included the discussion and what I know about it. I went to one of those meetings, and I was there with the managers from
auditors. What benefit are those to us that we, you know, that we're having those studies done and changing their? I see here they're going to be by improving efficiency by shifting some water quality testing responsibilities from lab personnel to operational personnel. And I just didn't want to have a deja vu on that, and I wanted to ask you what you felt was the benefit of that particular item.
I, you know, asked our engineer for his professional opinion. I asked the other people, and, you know, everyone was in agreement that it's good as presented. I put it on the agenda because you asked me to.
Yeah, well, I think it's appropriate that the item come before this board because this is a significant cost to the district. And in this particular budget, interestingly enough, it decreases by our percentage of the $200,000 reduction from the last year's budget. It says on under variance discussion on page II, number two, I guess that is.
Yes.
The district is, in the last couple sentences, the district is encouraging agencies to maintain these savings as reserves as a contingency for future capital needs. An alternative would be to add these savings to, quote, contractor-funded reserves in the Zone 3 budget for future capital outlay. And I would suggest that we take the encouraging word and maintain the savings in our own reserves rather than pass that to the Zone 3 budget for future capital outlay there. So that was my only comment on it.
Well, that was a concern to me as well, because I was not understanding that if we've passed the Zone 3 budget, whether or not we would be agreeing to start our own, you know, to contribute to that reserve, that separate reserve, or if we would be agreeing to, you know, stipulate a certain amount that we would hold aside for that. And I thought maybe you could explain that a little bit more.
I can't.
I'd like to hear from the Zone 3 rep on this.
The Zone 3 rep is asking the general manager who goes up to the tech meetings and the gentleman's agreement, and I'm not understanding that portion of it myself.
As I read it, you're going to save X amount of money over what was spent last year. Mm-hmm. Zone 3 is recommending that we maintain that in some reserve in case future capital needs demand, and they say the alternative would be for them to just take it right now and put it in their own funds. And it seems to me that the primary recommendation here is encourage agencies to maintain the savings. I think we should do that.
I think we should too.
And not agree with the alternative proposal.
And so
that would be my only concern, would be that we, if we approve the budget, that we opt for the primary recommendation and not the alternative.
So I wondered how much that would be and how that would be determined and how that would factor into our budget that we have now.
It would be about $13,000, which would be our percentage of the $200,000.
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that again.
It would be about $13,000, which is our 6.67% of the $200,000. In round numbers.
Okay.
Back of the envelope.
Thank
and
you.
I don't have an envelope or a calculator, but that's the number.
Well, while we're talking about Zone 3 budgets, I don't know quite where to bring this up. So then I had worked the numbers as well, and that was my understanding that there would be about 13 to 15K in reserves because of their short calculation. And then I get this proposal for professional services to attend all the Water Zone 3 meetings for $1,200 a month. And 1,200 times 12, gosh, you do the math, there is no savings there. That actually puts us in the hole if we hire a person to be basically the secretary to the Zone 3 rep. And attend all the technical meetings and collect their minutes and, you know, bring their reports to us. So this, my concern, President Hill, is that this proposal for professional services for the Zone 3, which is...
I think the source of, where it came from, too.
Yeah, so...
Of approving such a proposal, which is not...
Well, I saw him on the warrants last time. Yeah. And was paid almost $600 to write a report where we have an engineer who could have done that we already pay. Mm. You know, so when I see another proposal zooming in on the water by the same person, there's 13 case, you know, that it's not a savings, it's just, you know, they'll get it back out of us in some way. But... And then I see this, it comes out close to this, and basically this proposal is to write, you know, everything regarding Zone 3 that the board, which is board business, I went, what the heck is going on? Is this backdooring? Is it?
No.
Again,
it's just like, we got this thing about the airport day, we got some kind of a proposal. That's...
No, I got that in my pocket.
We don't have any proposal on our agenda.
Right. So I'm just asking you, when I asked him, was the president aware of this? And he said, yeah, most definitely he was aware of this. Okay, so that's the only reason why I tie the two together.
Okay, well, I understand
the confusion. Because this proposal is strictly for Zone 3.
I understand the confusion.
Okay. I don't think it's confusion. I think they are tied, but... I'm glad to see that the budget did not go up this year, and I did anticipate it going down, and they had let us know, but they didn't have the numbers at the time I was sitting.
And then I had one other question about Zone 3, and that was it the intention of the district to go ahead and have the surplus water delivered primarily and then save the...
I think that's a different topic and probably not on our agenda.
Okay.
So I think we should stick with the proposed budget.
Oh, God.
Okay, is there any public comment on the proposed Zone 3 budget? Seeing and hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
Move that we accept the Zone 3 proposed annual budget for year 2011 to 2012, beginning July 1st.
If I might make
you
a request
want me to,
on that, could we...
you want me to reference a resolution?
No, could we perhaps encourage the district to... follow their encouraging advice that we maintain the savings here rather than give it to a collective account?
Yes.
Yeah, I could accept that as a friendly amendment to that, just to include it all in one.
Thank you.
Under the condition that the savings is kept at the district and invested appropriately under the GM and the president.
I'd second that.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve the Zone 3 budget with the option to maintain the savings in the local treasury. Can we do that on a voice vote? I think we can. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Passes unanimously. Back to item 9E. I've been advised by legal counsel that this is not appropriately on the agenda, that the agenda statements are not correct. And so I would ask that this be dropped from the agenda this evening with the consent of the board.
Just for clarification, Mr. President, was the general manager not evaluated in November of 2010, where his contract was negotiated in the office? Mr. Rafael Montemayor, do you remember any such meeting?
I remember, you know, the contract, but, you know, I put it on the agenda because I was asked to agendize it, or else, you know, I could have made the same question. I'd have said, well, you know, the last time I visited it, it was a contract. It had my pay for the next 5 years, so therefore, you know, there's no raise. That's the way I wanted it for July 1st. But when someone asks me to put something on the agenda, I do it. Now, the only thing that...
Pardon me? My understanding is that that's the call of the general manager, whether he wants it in, whether he or she wants it in private or public.
It's the call of the board unless there's specific charges or complaints, in which case the employee would have the option of having it in open session. Otherwise, the board has the option of deciding to have it in closed session.
And there's no charges or complaints.
Okay.
Item 11, once again, reports of district representatives. The Five Cities Fire Authority meeting of March 18th was canceled. I did receive, however, a written communication from the authority relating to joint fire dispatch. And I'll leave a copy with the district such that all of the directors can get it. If you haven't already seen it, it's a discussion from the fire chief to the attention of the Grover City or Grover Beach Police Chief discussing the dispatch needs of the fire department specifically and what we would need to see to support the fire department with a joint dispatch. And the joint dispatch would probably at this point be either contracted with the city of Grover Beach or the city of Arroyo Grande, one or the other to be determined. But I was pleased to see that the chief detailed out all of the things that the fire dispatch requires such that we can assure that when whatever decision comes to be made that we make sure that the fire department's needs are incorporated there. So I'll pass this to the general manager. We can dispatch it to the board members just for people's awareness of what's going on. Again, there was no meeting of the fire authority this month. It was canceled. I did attend the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District meeting on March 16th. There were a number of items on the agenda. The consent agenda had review and approval of the warrants, the financial report, superintendent's report, and a resolution amending the bylaws, which is very, it's actually identical to the one that we approved here at the last meeting. Board action on individual items. equipment replacement of the Varec flame arrestor and Varec drip trap purchases. These are single replacement for existing equipment that fits in the system, and that was approved for $7,747.76. Emergency response plan. The staff recommended that the board direct staff to complete the plant's emergency response plan. That was approved. I voted against that because I believe that it was a effectively a sole source contract for engineering work to the existing plant engineer. So I voted uniquely against that item for that reason. It was 2010 major budget item number 07, but that did pass by 2-1 vote. Item 4C on the agenda there was consideration of independent investigation in regards to management. And the discussion there centered on the independent investigation that was commissioned by the sanitation district in relation to specific complaints by two employees. And I thought that I wanted to see a bigger view, picture review of what was going on there in terms of management. Are management best practices recognized and followed? I was concerned by a number of things that one of the commenters brought up earlier. Mr. Pinak mentioned that there was a half a dozen items that were included in the notice of violation at the district, including not updating the O&M manual, that's the operation and maintenance manual for the equipment at the plant. And it seems to me that there's been a number of changes to the plant over the years, and for some reason that manual wasn't updated routinely as a part of the ongoing modifications to the plant. And so it seems to me that that should be part and parcel of any modification to the plant, that the O&M manual be revised, a number of other things. And my concerns also include that the culture of the entire organization there probably needs an independent review. So I recommended an independent review of the beyond just the notice of violation itself and the particular allegations that have been made and will work themselves out, and to have a discussion and review of practices and so forth. I think if that comes back, I'm going to recommend at least regulatory agency participation in such. And that's where that item is. There was a closed session. One of the items of the closed session was review of the engineer and administrator's contract. Based on my recommendation that those be divided into separate contracts. And there was a draft presented, which is, again, a closed session item that I can't discuss the substance of those proposals. So that's what happened at the Sanitation District. And Mary.
I attended the Zone 11A Advisory Committee meeting. I've always enjoyed that committee. Unfortunately, it was sad the way it was created after the first floods. But it's nice working with a good group of people that have stayed in for the long haul. It seems like they've cut down on a lot of expenses from the early days when they were having the Corps of Engineers clean up to the 22nd Street Bridge. They've done their best to be very cost-effective in those areas because the Corps can be extremely expensive, not to mention almost a whole institution's been built around the creeks. But anyway, they did put in a FEMA application for the stormwater and the management on 418. So we'll see how that works out. NOLA Engelskerger.
I know who you're talking about.
Engelskerger? She's really a great lady. She's very thorough, very concise on her reports. I thought that she did an excellent job on kind of tying everything together. there is a little bit of a mystery. I can't say it's all really exciting unless you like creeks and water and things like that, which I do. But there's this duckbill flap on one of the on one of the aquifers it's on one of the levees, I should say. And it keeps getting sabotaged, and it costs about $20,000 to replace it. And what it is it's rubber, and it comes out, it looks like a duck bill, and it just keeps coming out. And something, whether it's human or animal, has taken a liking to it. And I don't know if it's trying to have babies with it or just trying to eat the darn thing, but it keeps going back and attacking these rubber, very expensive things that are protecting our ducks there, right? And it keeps the debris away from the floodgates. So they're really, really important, and they cost about $20,000 to replace. So now they've decided that somebody's going to lend them a few nanny cams, and they're going to put them out there and see if it's, if it's an animal eating away at it because of deficiency, or we've got some people out there who keep getting high and cutting it out with their axes or something. I don't know. But anyway, it was an interesting discussion. So they are staying on top of their creeks and managing, and the Lost Battles Creek is now becoming more and more full. And if any of you have been down to the beach lately or have the pleasure of living at the beach, you'll see that we have multiple streams. Well, actually, they're raging rivers going into the ocean, and we now have about 20 more feet of surf that needs to be broke away, and then the Arroyo Grande Creek will go straight out where it used to originally go out. Mother Nature has put it back where it belongs. Hopefully, she has. And so we've been actively, a lot of people have been actively watching that wash away, which is, it's interesting. But so the creek beds on the beach have changed where you cross the creek. Wouldn't suggest doing it by foot, but in vehicle. So now you have, we're down, actually down to two mouths, and a third one coming, breaking its way through. So I'll keep attending. I would strongly encourage people to visit with the supervisor over at the sheriff's office every Thursday from 1:30 to 3:30. I think it's good to get to know your local supervisor in the area. I can't say the flip side of it is that we have an abundance of beavers right now.
Right.
Because that's not the flip side, but yeah, we are going to lose a beaver dam because of it. But it is causing quite a bit of havoc in the Lost Battles area. Yeah, I'm going to pick sticks.
I'll hold a comment until all of the reports are done, I think. That's all right, but thank you for the additional discussion. Yeah. Director Angelo.
Excuse me, I don't have anything to comment since I haven't been here a lot lately, but things are getting better.
We're glad to hear that. Director Henson.
I just have to report that on March 17th we had a personnel meeting, and we met to basically we're just trying to update some of the policies and procedures that have to do with employment in the district, and determined that it would probably be good to do some changes regarding the fire that Director Guerrero did implement, and it was agreed upon tonight. I can't say that we got very far with our mine and Matt's other project. I think we need to probably regroup and figure out exactly how we're going to tackle what we had started out to do, and it seems to get more complicated, so I think we're going to regroup and discuss it before is brought back to the agenda. And then I went to the, I missed the advisory committee on Monday because I was up at the special meeting at the RAC where they went over the water master plan. And of course, I don't believe that Oceano is represented in the first draft of the water master plan. And I think it would behoove our district to update some of the information. I tried to inject some of the information that I had, and I was soundly, roundly told that Pismo Beach and Arroyo Grande were in strong disagreement. So, again, I do believe that that information needs to get to Courtney Howard, and this is only the first draft. And then I went to the Zone 3 meeting, and predominantly the meeting was dominated by the Zone 3 budget, and I wasn't really sure they had actually made provisions in the Zone 3 agenda, that they were concerned that a lot of the representatives, or some of the representatives that were coming to the meetings, had not been, you know, discussed with their district managers, and their board members had, you know, enough discussion to be able to come back to Zone 3 and represent their board by voting. So they essentially didn't vote on the on that date, and they brought it back, and they'll come back in April, and hopefully that there will be some discussion, and the, you know, we've already voted tonight that we will approve that, so I can feel confident that I can go before the Zone 3 and make a vote for our district. So they'll just have another thing, and they discussed the capital improvements for Zone 3, the capital outlays and projects, which, boy, looked really expensive to me, and there were a couple things I was had questions about because they do represent, you know, that percentage that we pay. And I certainly hope that they've been equated in our budget. And it was interesting. They're going to be, you know, there's a main water line for the Lopez line at the Rodriguez Bridge, and they're going to have to be replacing that and doing modifications to ensure that the steelhead trout can still come up there. In fact, it will enable them to come easier, and that would be a water line crossing. They're talking about doing the fencing the whole perimeter of the Lopez treatment plant up there. We did go up there and had a tour of that. It was very interesting, but that's a whole lot of fencing, and I question whether or not they've ever had any security breaches or any reason to believe that they would need to do that, and my concern is for the wildlife as well. And I guess that concludes my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Guerrero.
Yes, I just wanted to follow up on a couple of the personnel committee issues. I don't know if I want to call them issues, but things we spotted that we think can be addressed as policy matters to make the district a better place for the employees. The meeting was initially called for to deal with the volunteer fire department or resolution that we had on tonight, and also to review the job description or what we want to do as a board with the best policy to be to do that. These were not issues that were raised by the employees. They were not disgruntled. They told us that they're very happy in their positions, both Dan and Steve, and it was very encouraging. I've talked to them a number of times since, and so probably the proposal will be once we figure out which Director Henson and I have a number of job descriptions to go through, which job descriptions are most appropriate. We'll probably ask the employees to review those and make sure that those reasonably reflect what the day-to-day realities of what happens here at the district. Finally, Dan and Steve, the yard guys, were very kind, and they offered a ride-along for me, and I think they would probably offer that for any board member. And I think I'm going to try to take a day off next month and go on a ride-along with them and put on my boots and grab a shovel and do what they do for a day. I think that would help me understand what they do. And which was going to segue into that piece of pipe right there. I'll let General Manager Monty Murrow talk about that, but this was right outside of my laundromat. We did, I think we lost water for a little while, and there was water, quite a bit of it going.
I thought it was a birdhouse.
Yeah, there was water, quite a bit of water going behind and through our parking lot, and so I think I'll, with that, that finishes my comments.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Yeah, questions among the board members.
Since the yard guys, did they talk about staff morale at all?
Between themselves, it seemed to be very high. I have spoken with them since. They both told me they really like their jobs.
Yeah, and they've told me that too, you know, and I didn't want to violate any Brown Acts or anything like that, but the morale of the staff seems to be at the highest. The morale of the community, though, I think that since they're on the streets, they get the brunt of it, you know. And I said, do you guys have any negative recourses against you because of what we do at the board? And yes, they do, and they deal with that daily, and they don't complain about it. And I asked them the question. They didn't volunteer that. And then secondly, they will be compensated for any district business, I hope, including attending a personnel committee that district that, you know, discusses job descriptions in their division.
I personally have no problem with anybody whose job description is being discussed being there to contribute.
Yeah.
And I think we're of like minds that if they're maintaining their jobs or their certification for the benefit of the district, that this ought to be, as a policy matter, paid for by the district. We can come up with a procedure where they have to get approval and these sorts of things and funds get released. But I think that's appropriate. Oh, I did want to also join you. They did mention to me that almost on a daily basis they have some thing from somebody that's a negative interaction. And although they did qualify that and say, sometimes we're hanging a shut-off notice on their door. And so people generally aren't happy to see you at that moment. So, but I had the same experience as you did. Yes.
Yeah, I think even in the front staff, too, they have mentioned to me that the morale is good.
I've been trying to get to know them as well without interfering with their job duties. And
right.
So I, you know,
because they're really overwhelmed.
There's a lot of work going on here, so.
Yeah, they don't need us in there picking around.
Does that answer your question, Director Lucy?
Yeah, it does. Thank you very much.
I'd like to have some clarification on just what we talked about. When we were in the personnel meeting, we weren't discussing any specific job description. We were just asking for the job descriptions of the employees, and we were wanted to compare them with the previous job descriptions that the district has had in the past that the attorneys had made up, and we were trying to kind of look at those, and then we were planning on kind of getting a plan of action and going into the general manager with that, and then we would be asking for some input on his part. So there was no specific job personnel that was intended for our meeting. We were just doing a cursory look at what was available in the office and what currently the employees were working on under. We had asked for those and to see what we had, because it seemed like there was a looks like some issues that are going on with our paperwork and things like that, and we've been discussing and asking the director to get some support.
We weren't
changing policy.
Oh, okay.
We were.
Right. Well, to the items that I spoke to, yeah, okay. I think we should change the policy.
Okay.
And I had another point that I've lost. I apologize.
Well, but our intention there was not for changing policy, and had that been the intention, it would have gone to Raphael, and I would probably take 3 or 4 meetings to kind of. We were just trying to determine what we were doing. We weren't
just.
There was no personnel evaluations, or that was not the intent, or any type of thing like that. That was not the intent of that meeting, and it was only a cursory meeting in the very beginning of what we were trying to do. So I, as I said,
okay.
That reminds me, Carol. Carol does remind. Yes, as to now, there not being personnel evaluations or anything, we constantly remind ourselves that we're not the managers, that we have a manager for that purpose, and that we're just here for policy.
Okay.
And so, we try to. It's easy to lapse and to, well, we should do it this way, but then we realize that's a management decision, and we have somebody that's paid to do that, and we leave them leave them alone to do that. So.
Good. Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Public comment on the director's report. Hearing none. General manager items for discussion.
I want to give the board an update on our broken water main. And the reason is because normally what happens is a water main breaks, and you know, like the team is great, they're notified, they go there, they take care of it, and basically they can just fix it so that like it's over, you know. So when those kind of things happen, you know, I don't say much, but what has happened is we had a real serious water main break, and we weren't able to just fix it like we normally do, so I figured I'd, you know, explain to the board what has happened and what's going on, and I believe the old expression, a picture's worth 10,000 words.
Yeah.
Well, what happened last week was, this is the water main that I have shared with the board in the past that I have concerns on. That's 810 feet long, and it runs over there behind the strip mall, behind the post office, like in the alley there. And it's been in the ground since 1952. Now, normally what happens is the pipe breaks, and it usually breaks like in holes, they measure them in pencil sizes, you know, one or two. And that type of break, in-house we have like clamps that, you know, they just clamp the pipe and services minimum interruption, and everybody goes on their merry way. Well, this is the troubled main, and I went back and did the research, and that we know of, it was repaired 7 times before last week. So now with this one, it's 8 times. The last time that it broke, same thing. Normal, you know, breakage. It was up and running the same day, so it didn't, not much interruption and not much loss of water. This time when it broke so bad that we couldn't fix it. So what we had to do was we had to order parts, and basically because of the size of the hole, the normal procedure or what is intended to repair a main is not intended for a hole this size. So what we did was we ordered parts. And they're extremely expensive. They're like over a couple hundred bucks a piece, but we're still trying to negotiate, get them for a little less. And we had to buy 2 adapters and pipe. And then what we had to do to fix it was we had to cut the pipe off and put an adapter on each side, because this is an old, it's been in the ground since 1952. And it's a steel pipe. So that's bad, because if someone cares after the meeting to look inside, you know, it corrodes, it rusts, you know, it's nothing but a problem. But the pipe that we replaced it with is newer pipe, and, you know, it's synthetic, it won't load like that, it doesn't rust as much. But I'm concerned because, while I've already started unofficially, but officially, the expenditure that wasn't in the budget. But here, I'm saying that perhaps to limit the total cost
of the repairs to the liability for me is a big concern. We know that the main is bad. This is the largest hole to date, and I'm very thankful for our water team. They're great. But the way it's been explained to me, when the holes start getting larger, then you're at the point that repairs become more difficult, more costly, and I just wanted the board to know that. Presently, it's been repaired, the water is on, and I just wanted the board to be aware that this water main is a serious issue, and we should try to all put our heads together and see if there's a way that before we have to repair it again. The way it's been explained to me, the engineering studies have been done twice, as a matter of fact. I would like to at least get an idea, take the last information that we have as far as what would be required to fix the 810 feet and send it out and get at least three competitive bids. This way, you know, we'll have them before the budget's done, and I want the board to you know, realize that I'm not comfortable putting the budget together and recommending it with that type of liability and that type of, you know, situation in the ground. Seven times before last week, and now eight times it's been repaired, and it's actually just a risk that I thought was great enough that the board should know it. If anybody has any specific questions, I'll do what I can to answer them, but I shared with you my concerns and what I know about it. And when I go pencil-wise, one or two, which is the average, because the water pressure is so great that when a pipe breaks, it just breaks to relieve the pressure. So usually the holes are in sizes of pencils, and they have, I don't want to say Band-Aid because that sounds bad. They're not Band-Aids. They're plugs, okay? But it's the same principle that I can relate to something that I do know something about. It's like a car tire. Mm-hmm. You know, and then the plugs are basically a size, and we're prepared for normal breaks here, and we can usually have a normal break up and running in no time. This kind of stuff we're not prepared for. We have to order parts. It's extremely expensive, and I just wanted to share that information with the board.
Have you talked to County Public Works at all about any funds that might be available from CDBG or other?
I've spoken with Tony Navarro in regard to it.
Might be worth a call to Pavel also to see if he has recommendations, but I share your concern that main is, it's been in our water master plan for
forever,
thank you, and it needs to be replaced.
I have a question about the pipe that was taken out. You know, pipe will start out, and the wall thickness of the pipe will be a certain amount, and then it looks like it's probably decreased, even though it's got some it's contaminate, I don't know what you call it, on the inside, some growth or
yes,
deposits.
It loads, and now this is relatively clean because in the process of cutting it off,
it broke a lot off.
A lot of it came out, but otherwise, when it was first removed from the ground in here, conservatively, probably a third of the space was all loaded, and the size that actually allowed water through was much more restricted than what we see here.
Decreases flow
and
pressure. And part of the question will be, has the wall diameter, it's not diameter, but has the wall thickness been reduced over this amount of time, which obviously there's a break, but...
How it looks here, it has. It's thinner here than it is here where we cut it.
I have a question about the pipe.
Yes.
You said it's steel, or do you mean galvanized?
The way it was explained to me, they called it steel, or as in metal pipe, whereas now the pipes today aren't made. It wasn't metal. It's a different type of pipe. It's a cleaner pipe.
So the grandfathered pipe in is okay as long as there's no codes or things that need to be.
But
you don't
when
know.
You repair it, you have to repair it. Exactly. Right. So now the actual pipe is better than this was. The pipe that this piece that was put in there is a newer pipe. It's not metal, and it's secured on both ends.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Do we have any update on the audit?
Not at this time.
Okay, is there public comment on the general manager's report? Hearing none brings us to item 13, is public comment. Any general public comment? Again, hearing none. Board member items for discussion then. This time start with Director Graff.
Yes, I'd like to put on for the next meeting that we have the discussion regarding the personnel items that I brought up. One would be budgeting continuing education for the, we'll just say staff. And that would include the policy of reimbursement for the licensing that they're required to have in order to be employed for the district.
Carol, any items for discussion?
Well, I see that we don't. I don't know if it'd be proper to try to bring back the items that we agendized last week, or at least gave direction for, and they haven't been done. The audits, so I really am not sure how to clarify that. If we gave direction, it wasn't done, should we re-agendize that back again?
I'll have a comment on that.
Okay.
Director Lucy.
No, I don't have anything for discussion.
Okay. I've been, yes, driven to distraction by the audits. I did call County Auditor Controller Jerry Seebach. Spoke with him about the situation. He said, basically, take whatever you've got, bundle it up, and give it to the auditor. And that's, of course, what our board voted to do at the last meeting. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened yet. But I asked him if I could. He's out of town at a conference of some sort. I asked him specifically if I could use his name in making the recommendation that the audit information get to the auditor as soon as possible, and he said absolutely yes. So the auditor controller seconds our direction that the audit material get to the auditor immediately.
And those are the
208-09 and the 209-10 audits that were 2 years behind, approaching 3 years behind, and
I thought 08-09 was done.
08-09 is not done. 09-10 is not done. 10-11 will be due in 3 months.
Okay.
So I'm still very discouraged with that. Board items for the next agenda. Mary?
I'd like to see us start a process for the annual budget.
Mm-hmm. What?
The annual budget.
Huh?
The annual budget.
The process and how we're going to move forward on creating an annual budget.
Okay.
Director Hill, I do have one other item that may be worth discussion, and that is, you mentioned an October 13th directive to staff, and sometimes life happens, and we don't get things done, and we don't follow up, and I know that
At my old office, we used to have what's called a tickler system, where you would basically, it's like creating a to-do list, and it would remind you every day or 2 days to come back and make sure that this thing was done. And perhaps that we could have as a part of our procedures under administrative items, is when we direct staff to do something, that also assumes that there will be a report given back at the next meeting so that we know whether or not the status of it. Because it's easy to forget. It's human. And it happens. And so I think that's a good way of keeping track of things.
I agree.
Good idea.
It's worked in other arenas quite well.
Yeah, exactly.
So we're today evening with that on the agenda with district council to provide the correct agenda topic.
Is this just for the general manager evaluation, or are we talking about performance right. from all of them?
Just the general manager's evaluation.
Performance review?
Performance review, right.
And that's on for the next meeting?
He's calling for maybe do a special
meeting. I'm asking for Monday
at
a special meeting, right?
The first?
Monday evening.
Oh, my gosh.
No, Monday's 21st. The 28th.
Is it the first again?
Oh, 24. What day is today? 23rd. That'll be the 28th.
Would that be a special meeting closed session?
Yes, I believe so, with district council's concurrence.
So you're proposing that we spend an additional $1,000 for a special meeting for an evaluation?
No.
Okay, so can you restate what you're asking for?
I'm asking for a special meeting.
Which is going to cost $1,000.
Well, I'm not charging. I believe the board gets compensated for regular meetings, right?
Right, and a special would be considered a regular, that they fall under regular meetings.
That would be up to the board.
I don't understand the urgency. I'm sorry, I don't understand the urgency of a special meeting.
There's, I think that needs to happen.
Is it urgent that it happen? I mean, Carol, I'm speaking to the president.
Well, in my opinion,
I know that you want to facilitate, but please, I ask you.
Yes.
I'm not speaking to anyone, Director Lucy.
In my opinion, yes. And perhaps other board members can...
Yeah, I'm sure there's been quite a bit of discussion. I'm sure of it. And I'm asking you, do you think that it's an emergency where you have to have a special meeting?
I don't think it's an emergency, but
okay,
I do think
it's... Okay,
because
you got legal counsel there at $500, then you have staff time, and then you have $500 at the table.
No, it's not me. I didn't charge.
So you're talking about $1,200 when we could attach it onto a regular meeting and go into closed session and do another evaluation.
And have the exact same cause.
I don't even know what the cause is.
The exact same costs.
No, we wouldn't have the same cost because it would be at a scheduled meeting. So we're already at the meeting. The legal is already at the meeting. The board is already at the meeting. So it wouldn't be an additional cost.
I believe, Director Lucy, that the last special meeting that we had, none of the directors charged for that special meeting. And I don't believe that, at least I wouldn't, and Director Hill says he wouldn't. And consequently, if it's something that would be discussed in closed session, which I feel that there's also a need to have a special meeting in closed session.
Raphael has a...
One aspect of that is AGP is not going to be here on the clock.
Okay.
During the performance review, which is in closed session, while they're sitting here on the clock, charging us for that time.
Okay, and then also too is Director Guerrero as chair of the personnel. Do you think that there needs to be a special meeting?
I hadn't thought of this as a personnel committee issue.
Evaluation of personnel.
I'm available on Monday if the board agrees to have a
Has anybody ever discussed with you having a special meeting to review this?
I discussed with President Hill on
so
the way.
So there has been three directors who have discussed having a special meeting. I think it's a violation of the Brown Act.
I believe you're way off base, Director Lucy. You don't know who's talked to who,
so
and excuse me.
General Manager.
I just wanted to share with the board that this week we have the Tyler technology person on site. We're at a very, very, you know, critical part of, quote, completely finishing the new software. We're even coming in Saturday, okay? And the staff is coming in so that the new bills will go out, excuse me, so that the next bills will go out and they'll be made in here in the new system. And next week, again, Tyler's going to be here most of the week. So, you know, I have to ask if I can even, you know, be at the closed session, because if I've committed to the consultant and we're working on the conversion, I can't pay that person and blow up the whole operation and not get the bills out, because we have to have a special meeting in closed session on something that is not going to affect the rate of pay, because we're not getting an increase, on something that is not going to do anything except give certain directors the opportunity, you know, to beat me up in closed session. And that's okay if they want to do that. But I assure you that it'll be public knowledge, and I don't care if we have to do it in open session, because I know the rules. And the rules are that I can have my evaluation in open session. And I don't care when it is or when we do it, but we're going to do it in open session, because the public, the constituents need to know what kind of job I'm doing for them. In the last 20 years, this place has had 10 GMs before me. And from what I've told, those 10 GMs, they don't go out and help people at the counter. They don't answer the telephone. Now, I'm not looking for a pat on the back. That's not my style. But I'm working to move the district forward. And therefore, the people that are paying the bills need to know that. So figure out when you want to have it, but we're doing my evaluation in open session. Otherwise, I'm going to be absent. Thank you for your time and attention.
Now, are we back to director comment?
Go ahead, Carol.
Are we back to director comment?
The question was, are we going to have a special meeting to discuss the performance review? That was the question.
I believe I would be available on Monday the 21st.
Well, that already passed, honey. It's the 23rd.
Well, I was available
Monday,
on that day.
Monday's the 28th, I believe.
The 28th?
It's the 28th.
I'm really disappointed with this. I really think this could wait till the next meeting. I don't know that there's, you know, I don't think the place is going
to
burn
down
between now and the next meeting.
Well, I think we need to take a consensus and vote on it then. So I make a motion that we have a special meeting on Monday.
Excuse me, I was listening to what this director had to say.
Oh, that's okay. Never mind.
Yeah, you just
finished. Never mind.
Excuse me.
No, I'd really like to hear.
Mary, wait just a minute. Let's let Lori have the floor.
All I was going to say is I don't see an urgency that this, you know, the place isn't going to burn down. We've got things that need to be done. We're really close to getting this computer thing done and over with, and I really hate to interrupt that because it's been a long time coming. Everybody's complained about the old one. Let's get it done, and we'll go ahead and go on with the other priorities that we have, and then when the meeting comes for the next meeting, we can have his evaluation. He wants it done in public, we'll do it in public.
I understood that Director Raphael said that he was having the people in here on Saturday and Sunday. And
I said Saturday.
And those are the Tyler people that are in here?
Yes.
And is that also Harold that's in here working on the audits?
No, that's got nothing to do with... This is a special two-week period. This week it started the 21st. It's going to go all this week and Saturday.
Were they here this today?
Yes.
And we having a meeting this evening, correct?
All right. I want to get the bills out at the end of the month. Okay, now Monday's the 28th. We're going to work Saturday with the Tyler people. Monday and Tuesday would be better dedicated towards getting the bills out so that we ring the cash register and not some director having the opportunity in closed session to beat me up because she didn't want to beat me up in open session.
I really don't think that the inference is appropriate. The board is here trying to have a discussion.
I don't think so either.
The board is trying to have a discussion and determine when they will have a meeting. And I really feel like that we're the ones that are going to vote and determine that. And I believe that you've made your opinion known, but I don't believe that you should be able to interfere with the board's actions here tonight.
Can I make a comment? I don't think that he's trying to interfere. I think he's trying to try to convey to you that there's other things that need to be done. I really can't see where another couple of weeks is going to
Then I think that we should bring it to a vote, since we are not, we're having a consensus.
Can I make a suggestion?
Bring it to a vote.
Can I make a suggestion?
Yes, please.
I'm just saying I'm not hearing in something that makes it emergency.
Okay, with that then, we will request that staff consult with the attorney to get the proper agenda discussion for the next regular meeting.
Thank you.
Any other items? Written communication?
I'd like to see this this proposal for professional services that was sent to Raphael Montemurro and Mr. Jim Hill be included in our board packets, since the board said they didn't get it.
I have not seen that before I came in tonight.
Yeah.
I saw it when I walked. There was a copy floating around.
You're welcome
to
have it.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Lucy.
Brenda Auer was passing them out to the people here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we didn't have it on her desk because Brenda, I asked Brenda for a couple of them for the directors, and she gave me a couple, and I put them up here. But they were, I don't believe they were in the joint pack.
Okay, yeah, I don't think so either.
You know, I'm sorry, Carol Ann.
So I like that included in the... Okay. In the next board packet, not the Friday report.
I have a concern.
In the agenda?
Yeah. Because it's discussing board policy and not hiring of a person. Yeah. It's a person that is proposing to handle board decisions, board policy, board activities. So, no, it needs to come to the board, in my opinion.
So an application?
It's not an application.
Was it a proposal?
Yeah.
You know what it is.
I haven't seen it until tonight, Mary.
We can put it on the agenda for the next meeting, Director Lucy's request.
So speaking of the Friday letters, Director Montemurro, I noticed in the Friday letters there were two email correspondence from the attorney, Alex Seamus, that were confidential. They clearly state, did those go to the public or did those just go to us?
No, I waited until it was after the fact before I sent them out. So at that point, then, they're court record. They're not confidential anymore.
Well, the email's still confidential.
Oh,
That's protected attorney-client.
I was trying to, inform the directors of what had happened at the hearing, but my point was the hearing had already happened on Thursday. And then I sent them out on Friday.
Well, I think that one of them still has some pending. Yeah, they're confidential. I think one of them still has some pending information. I would ask, the cat may be out of the bag, but I would ask that those be removed from the website.
Okay.
And
they're not on the website. I just sent them out in the week at a glance. I did it as an update to the directors. This is what's going on.
Because that should be closed session.
The what he's talking about, the email about the week at a glance, they're not on the website. I didn't put them on.
But now they are out in the public, and so they're we put them out there. Now, could I ask you this? What could be the repercussions of this?
The opposing party would has got some information about our position and possible options that we may pursue on this matter, which is generally not something you want the opposing party to know, but you know, it is what it is, and it's not a lot you can do about it.
So basically, we gave away the game plan.
At this point, it wasn't, you know, there aren't a whole lot of options. Everyone pretty much knows what they are. It's pretty much done. But generally, if they're not on the website, don't put them on there. And don't. They are privileged, confidential, and should remain so.
Thank you.
Any other written communication? Is there a move to adjourn?
I make a motion we adjourn.
Second.
All in favor.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye.